calling the control tower.
Control tower.
Broadcasting, broadcasting, broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world, to the world, to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Wow. How long has it been since we heard that? Meu Deus, as they say in Portuguese. Oh, man.
Yeah. Welcome back, Doc. Welcome back.
Well, you know, we're back.
We missed you.
You're humbling me, you know. I miss you guys. And yeah, well, hey, let's play some Coltrane, and we'll do the prayer, and hold off on Coltrane for a minute. You know, we
we need to catch up for it.
Yeah, well, now you know you've got a whole new space.
We've got a whole new set here behind the whole new set of controls behind the curtain.
Yeah, I gotta look at those, and then not to mention the spaceship has expanded to extension part 17.
And this is true. This is true.
And I know your dad left the Columbia before me. And I've come back. He's still in Columbia.
He's still there.
Father's Day in Columbia. I thought for a while I was going to do Father's Day in Brazil.
Right. You might have. You're right.
Yeah. Well, originally, but things turned a little differently. Father's Day, so we got Testino calling, he's a father. Cedric will be calling, he's a dad.
Cool. And we have three people waiting.
The
panels are writing up.
Yeah, and we'll see. I'm thinking Dusty's got to be there, Mel Smith Jr., maybe the Hoopster will be here with us as we talk NBA Finals. But we're gonna do that prayer, and then we'll slide into them.
Absolutely.
Mr. Coltrane,
here we go.
Would you please? Dear Lord, all honor and praise to your holy name. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for your darling son Jesus. Thank you for the little things that we so largely take for granted. Thank you for Father's Day, but more importantly, thank you for being the Father of fathers. We ask you to not give us so much what we want, but what we need. And it's you that we need. It's you that we want. We ask you to reach out and bless the dads all over the world, the male and the female dads. The more important that you will be first and foremost. Thank you for the crew getting back together. Thank you for being home part two. More importantly, thank you for being you, the one and only true God. You may not be everybody's God, but you are the only God. And we ask these blessings in the name of your darling son, Jesus. Amen. Sports and death. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel. Sports and Depth is the show. It's been out for a while. The crew is back. We've got a lot to talk about. Big C behind the control panels with the Enterprise Extension Part 17. We've got a new board here. Big C be running back and forth. But let him in, C. Let him in.
You got it. Come here. Welcome, panel.
Welcome. Happy Father's Day to everyone.
D'Stenio's here.
Yeah, Hoopster's here. Happy Father's Day, everybody.
Hey, thanks, Hoopster. The Hoopster's in.
Happy Father's Day.
D'Stenio
Happy
baby
Father's
loves
Day.
Indeed, we're looking for Cedric. Yeah, it's funny you talk about that. I got on the phone today and I made
Did you hear
calls.
Me, Doc?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
I got the...
Welcome, everyone. Welcome. Welcome back.
Welcome back. The crew's back from Brazil. We were on tour.
We had a great time down there.
I'm telling you.
Well, you know, the thing about this time is I got a chance to, I think I told you about Steve. Steve was a guy who went to Brazil at about 6 months old and went back at 10 years old, moved from Brooklyn, New York to Brooklyn, São Paulo. And then we had to talk about how, you know, they went to class every day, and the first two classes they took was Portuguese. And then they had a little hole in the fence, and sometimes him and his crew didn't make class. Evidently, it didn't hurt Steve because he speaks fluent Portuguese, reads it, writes it, interprets it, and then after, it's amazing, guy moved from Brooklyn, New York, goes to Brooklyn, São Paulo, told the story of, I think I told this here on the show, where he one day in school, they're out in the yard playing stickball, and a limousine pulls up, and out jumps this white-haired blonde guy, in fact, the two blonde guys, and they turn out to be Mickey Mantle and Whitey Ford, playing stickball in the yard in Brooklyn, and two guys heading back to the Bronx, and he was saying, no, I question that they, you know, it's funny because you figure they played so many day games in those days, so they were out carousing and getting back in time before they could get another game in, or maybe it was an off day. But anyway, Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, Center Sports and Depth is the show. We're back here. We've had a little hiatus. I'm going to assure you, and my next move to Brazil, which will be soon, we will be doing live from Brazil. A lot of things have happened. The U.S. Open was won by the guy that melted down at the Masters. The NBA Championship won by the Dallas Mavericks. I saw a couple of those games there, too. I saw that second game when Dallas came back and caught the end. 15
points.
Yeah, caught the end of the game where game number four, where Dallas tied it up, and then saw the ceremony when Russell handed the MVP trophy, which has been named after him, to Dirk there. Yeah, Nowitzki. You know, Russell won 11 championships in 13 years. Actually, Russell won 11 championships in 12 years that he played. He didn't. The year that St. Louis won the championship was the year he got injured and didn't play. So he actually won 11 championships in 12 years and coached, first African-American coach in the history of NBA basketball to win an NBA championship as he was player coach of the Celtics. If you add the 2 years that he won the back-to-back championships at the University of San Francisco, Russell won 13 championships in 14 years from college into the pros. So you talk about a guy that can be considered the greatest player of all times. 20 rebounds, lifetime a game, but 15 points. All the blocks in the world, Bill Russell has to be right up there when you consider that. Also, you look at Jason Kidd, who one of the things in leaving the Nets, Hoopster, was that he wanted to go to a team that was a contender, a team that could get a shot at the championship, even though here with the Nets, I mean, they had two back-to-back shots at the championship.
Two straight years, and they couldn't pull it out, man.
They
weren't playing against any stiff.
Well, come on, he's going against the Spurs and the Lakers. They were two hot teams back then.
Russell Jr. here. I want to know how a coach gets fired after leading a team to the NBA Finals 2 years in a row. That's what I want to know.
Well, very simply, he's black.
All right, Doc, cutting to the chase.
Somebody sent me a great email the other day about Obama. They said after 2 years, and they listed all the so-called negativities that come down, and nobody's talked about the 8 years that Bush, you know, did this whole thing. You know what I mean? The bases are loaded. He's getting up four runs, and the relief pitcher comes up, gives a one ground ball, bad hop to the outfield, and he loses the game. You know what I mean? Wow. How's that Yankee game going?
The Yankees are tied up with the Cubs.
Wow.
CeCe Sabathia is an adventure at the plate. He's like the Saturday Night Live comedy hour.
Yeah, well, he's hit three home runs, and he hit one out there in Willie Stargell territory.
He hits monsters home runs in batting practice, but he's worse than T-ball when he has to hit it. Well, how bad he is. He's lousy. He had a chance to get a couple of RBIs, and he struck out on ball four. What a piece of crap.
Oh, yeah, Doc, about the NBA.
Dusty, he's not a hitter. He's not a hitter, baby. He's not a hitter.
Hey, let me tell you something, Doc, about baseball, man. You come in, if you're never a hitter in Little League and college ball, you're never going to make it to the majors. You make it to the majors whether you're a pitcher or not a pitcher. This was the downfall of the American League. These pitchers in the National League cannot bat the American League. Why? Because these guys hit. When there's an interleague like now, these guys only practice for about a week because they got to bat with the National League. And that's ridiculous. You get paid to hit and move the runners over. If you're not going to hit, well, then learn how to be a freaking bunter, man, to move the guys run. I had not just strike out a ball for like a stupid idiot, man.
Dusty, calm down.
$23 million a year to play baseball. The dude can't even bat.
But Dusty, they're paying him to pitch, Dusty.
Dusty
is right in the fact that can you move? We're not expecting you to hit.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if that's the case, if you're a pitcher. But can you help yourself and move the guy over?
You know what? You guys bring up a great story to mind. Gaylord Perry is hitting batting practice. And the writers are teasing Alvin Dark. And Alvin Dark says, he said, a man will land on the moon before Gaylord Perry hits a home run.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, on the day that man landed on the moon, that night the Giants paid, Gaylord Perry hit his first major league home run.
Wow.
His first major league home run.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be hanging in Cape Canaveral.
Mm-hmm. But because they were teasing him. I remember Gaylord Perry, game 963, because, hello, Lady A?
Doc, sorry.
Who we got?
You kind of left playing hard to stay hanging out here.
Hello?
Who's waiting?
Larry's here?
Oh, yeah.
Put Larry on.
Yep, put Larry on.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Now, it's funny, I was talking about Larry today. Thanks to Big C. Leroy Neiman was up in Harlem at the Leroy Neiman Foundation, where Leroy has funded, put a lot of money in a great thing about Harlem, 148 Ferdinand Boulevard. And just as the ceremonies were starting to begin, in walk Mayor Dinkins, you know, right on cue, because him and Leroy celebrate the same birthdays at St. Birch's same month over the Friars Club. So, one of the things that I was telling Mr. Dinkins was that, as always, salutations from Larry Hardesty, because he was a big part of Inner City broadcast. He had a show there, and he always bumped heads with Larry. You know, they would always talk and stuff. In fact, they both were very close friends of the late, great Arthur Ashe. And I was talking today at a ceremony as we salute 30 years of married bliss to Susan and Horace Mendoza. And she had a friend there who worked with Mr. Dinkins, and he talked to one of the things that, you know, we had a, one of the things that Dinkins would love would to have some sort of tennis facility named after him. And he's an avid tennis player. I remember John McEnroe at the Sportscaster dinner some years ago. You know, as I think about that dinner, I remember John McEnroe was there, okay. Burt Sugar was there. General Westmoreland was there. And the announcer, Oriental sportscaster, and Giuliani happened to be there, and he spoke, and he left. And McEnroe spoke after him, and McEnroe, you know, and he left, was saying, you know, he said, I don't know what he's talking about. He said, but all those tennis players, we voted for Dinkins. And you know, it was quite funny. And, you know, Leroy, as you know, on June 8th, as you don't know, 90th birthday, gentlemen. Leroy Neiman's 90th birthday.
90,
which is the same birthday as Bobby Goodman and also my niece down in Florida, Simone. But also, you know, Dusty, 2 days ago, 3 days ago now, Roberto Duran had another birthday.
Yep, Roberto. I forgot the numbers, but I know it's a little over 50.
Yeah, he's about.
I have to say this, gentlemen. I have to say this, Doc and Dusty panel. Who's this I hear?
Good, Mooney.
Yeah.
I was just watching tape just yesterday of a classic Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Leonard Duran won. I believe it was that the one that was up in Montreal.
Yes.
A bona fide war. Just classic stuff.
You mentioned that, and I have to go back to mention the passing once again of Tito Del Rosario, who's a very close friend of Roberto's. and mine. And he, you know, him and Anthony Newendam, Chinky, were the only two guys permitted in Duran's locker dressing room before the fight. They were taking pictures. And before he, as he had his hands taped, and before he put his gloves on, he turned to Anthony and the late Tito Del Rosario and said,
checking in.
Hey, see Wings, he said, I'm going to kill him.
I'm going to kill him.
Happy Father's Day, gentlemen.
Hey, happy Father's
Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy
Father's Day. Happy
Father's Day. Doc, that was his trademark remark every time he fought somebody.
Yeah, and most times he did. You know?
He never failed to say, Esteban de Jesus or whoever it was, I'm going to kill him.
Yeah,
I'm going to kill him. He did the same thing with Barkley and Davey Moore.
What I remember, too, was Doc Stanley Sports Dev on the Blake with Rainbow Soul Sports Dev. The show. I want to say happy birthday, too, to Nayada, who celebrated a birthday on the 6th, 2 days before Leroy Neiman. So happy birthday to my good friend Dave Hersher, who celebrates a birthday today. Yesterday, birthday of Joel the Freitas. And
me? Don't forget me.
The Hoopster. Yours is the 4th, right, Hoopster?
Yeah, it's turned 50.
Hoopster, hey, happy birthday.
Hoopster's the 4th. The 1st is my daughter, and
yeah,
also...
It's a 5-0 mark.
Really? Wow. And also,
yeah,
Uncle
50,
Robert, my late grandfather, and Derek Jeter on the 26th.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing about Duran, I remember...
he's got somebody else's birthday coming up, too, Doc.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, now Duran...
Tyson. Coming
Tyson,
up soon.
Tyson's the 30th, if I'm correct.
25th?
I thought it was the 30th. It's 25th. His birthday, and also Gilberto Ortiz, the sportscaster from working on boxing on the Latin side. My sister has a birthday, and my late cousin who passed away in February, Merle, was on the 29th. Duran, real quickly, in fighting Adolfo Villarreal as he was moving up to the welterweights to prepare to fight Leonard, and he was at the press conference. And he told Adolfo Villarreal, Adolfo, because he already had beat Edwin. And he told Adolfo, he said, on Friday, he said, bring your father. He said, I've already kicked your brother's ass. I'm going to kick your ass after that I kicked your father's ass. Okay, where's that noise coming from? We got to get rid of it. Who's ever got that background? We got to get it out. When we're on, we need just you and you alone. And I remember talking to him in the dressing room. That's the first time I'd ever seen Duran live. And I remember turning to him and says, what about the father? And he laughed. And he laughed. I have that picture. The first ever time that me and Cholo got together, and I got the picture hanging in my bedroom. And I think he's the greatest Latin fighter of all times, bar none. Hey, Dusty.
Yeah.
The Puerto Rican team made Wilfred Benitez their captain, remember?
Yeah, the captain, is honorary captain, mm-hmm. to keep his name in the limelight, because he's an abandoned child now. I mean, he's in his wheelchair, and it was horrible to see that picture. I mean, once vibrant conqueror of all these, he had a 57 victory and against only six losses.
And the thing, you know what? And people won't. The youngest guy to ever win a championship, and he beat Kid Pambele. You know what I found out?
Pambele. You see what happens to Pambele? Pambele's just come out of drug rehab, man. He's
really?
He had a financial, emotional setback once he lost the Fame and Glory, and he just came out of...
You know what, you hear the Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio with Rainbow Soul Chance Sports Show. You know, you hit something that I remember Walt Frazier... told me, he said, you know, Stan, he said, you know, it took 2 years of withdrawal,
mm-hmm.
No longer being, you
in
know,
the
person of adulation, and that's what a lot of people can't deal with.
Somebody said, I don't want to take the blame or the credit, but it's. Adjustment to the non-limelight.
Yeah.
Adjustment
those
to losing
panel, let me
the,
say this
that idolatry and people.
Oh, my God.
Oh, here she is, baby. Calm down. Let it go. I know. Rooney ain't got nothing to say now, do you, Rooney? Quiet now.
Doc, oh, I miss my. You, Doc. I miss all you guys.
Hey, start from the top, work your way down, girl.
You said Doc first, so I don't like that.
Listen, you can do two things. You can say Siloso, or you could hang the phone up by day.
Goodbye,
Adiosito. Hey, Doc, you know, I really do
and
to
I heard
say,
my man Hoops in the background. What's up?
Oh, yeah, the Hoops is here.
Yeah,
you know, I really do have to say this, lady, hey, now that you're here with us. And I have to say this to the sports in-depth nation all around the world. You know, when you hear this panel, including Lady A, and hear this tremendous panel that I'm proud to be a part of, it means only one thing. It means big things popping, little things popping.
Very good. You're absolutely correct, man.
Yeah, hey, Rooney, a point well taken.
Thank you,
a
doctor.
A point well taken. The check is in the mail.
Listen, June 28th, press conference.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Vicious Victor Ortiz will be putting his title on the line against Floyd. Pretty boy Mayweather.
Big time to unretire.
So it's a fight. I think I've got the press release. Everybody should have a copy of that press release. If you're not, we'll get it out to you. It's going to be 28th in Manhattan Hudson Theater. Mayweather Ortiz. And as Dusty was saying,
I tell you my feelings on that, Doc. You know that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Your thought was that it's his tune-up move toward Pacquiao.
I asked you, do you think it's another tax problem?
Mm-hmm.
And now, do you think it's a practice because Victor Ortiz is just going to be a slam dunk victory, which I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a practice because he wants to fight Pacquiao in 2012. And this will be the swan song for the two of them. But Pacquiao is getting a lot of money. There's a Mexican billionaire who offered Pacquiao clean. And this is why another incentive for Floyd to come out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Clean. He offered Pacquiao $75 million clean for himself to defend or to fight Canelo Alvarez, who didn't look too sharp Saturday night.
Hold on, Dusty. He offered
$75 million. In addition
to the doc saying,
please slow down, okay? I have to make a comment right now. I mean, I know I'm not Manny Ramirez, your boy over here. I got to hit a home run on that comment.
Or a left-handed pitcher that he says is swinging. You know?
Oh, my God.
He jumped on CC tonight for popping out. You know what I mean? He's making
$43 million,
and Dusty thinks he should be hitting line drives to right center field with men on base.
Look, he should
be a dominant man. Okay, I just got to say this. Dusty. How do you think that kid did not show something the other night?
Who is this?
Canelo? Yeah.
First of all, he's fighting imports with a dollar and a dream.
Okay, I'll take that.
Yeah.
Like tomato cans, like you try to say.
Yeah, tomato.
But how? But to say that the kid's not talented altogether, Dusty? I don't know about that.
Who am I talking about? Canelo Alvarez?
Yeah.
No. I'm telling you that he's beatable, even though he's good.
Clarity is important because I thought you were trying to say he's fighting tomato cans and he has no talent. The kid's a talented kid.
No.
I gotta be honest with you. I wasn't that impressed with the guy.
At the same time, he's not improving because he's still fighting like an amateur.
He has 37
fights. He's undefeated. Something like 25 knockouts. He just turned 21. He has the world title, but he has not improved from fight to fight. And
I agree,
if it ain't broke. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, but he better start fixing it.
He's not ready for Pacquiao. He's not
heck
ready.
No, he's not ready.
Oh, no,
for
not
Pacquiao.
At all.
He's not ready.
No. He still needs a few more fights to get there, I think.
Was that where he beat up, I think it was the guy, the opponent from England?
Rhodes.
Yeah, they want this guy in strictly to be an opponent. I mean, the guy tried, but he wasn't on the same level. He actually looked like a animated punching bag.
Yeah, but you see, you got to go back to when he won the 54-pound title. He fought Ricky Hatton's brother, and Ricky Hatton's brother gave him a hard time for 12 rounds.
He gave him a hard time, so
this is what I'm saying, that Pacquiao's getting $75 million to fight a so-called contender, but this contender ain't ready to take Pacquiao's punch.
I tell you
what fight I would like to, and this might strike a little bit of a something in the nerve of you guys. I mean, I'd like to see Sergio Martinez fight Pacquiao. I'd be interested in seeing what that challenge would be like to Pacquiao.
I don't want to see that. That's to me, it's
he's a little big for Pacquiao, isn't he?
He's first is too big. First, it's going to be a damaging fight. Not for Martinez. It's going to be a damaging fight for Pacquiao. I think that will be Pacquiao's Waterloo. That's the way I feel. But I don't want to see that. Pacquiao got enough
Big C.
fighters.
You still with us?
Yeah?
Big C?
Now, what'd you say? He has enough what? Pacquiao has enough what?
He has enough opponents in his swimming pool to make the money. Now, this guy comes, I don't know, a Mexican billionaire.
Well, let's go back. So Dusty, this guy offered him $75 million just for one fight?
Just to fight Canelo Alvarez.
I mean, this guy got $75 million. He can't do nothing better with $75 million?
Remember when Mayweather said, okay, I'll fight Pacquiao now, but you got to guarantee
me. But Pacquiao fighting Alvarez is no challenge.
No, but it's really not, Lady. That's like him fighting Claudia again.
I mean, it's not a challenge.
$75 million. It's a fight I gotta have. $75 million.
Yeah, but as a fan, Doc, you want to see. I gotta refer back
Lady
to Wesley's comment.
Pacquiao's fans don't care who he fights. They're
exactly.
gonna come and see him.
Texas Stadium, $75 million. He's a money man, and Bob Arum says, this is my cash cow before he retires in 2012.
Well, I mean, I don't know if they're going to fill it up for him fighting that opponent. Let's not get things twisted here, you know.
No,
Pacquiao ain't Tyson. Pacquiao ain't Ali. Pacquiao ain't Duran. Pacquiao ain't De La Hoya. Those guys, no matter who they fought, they sold out, okay?
Oh, come on, Doc. That's a ridiculous statement because he is the man now.
Jesse, don't tell me about ridiculous, okay?
Yes,
because Pacquiao needs the right opponent because Pacquiao's not going to sell out fighting that guy, okay?
Yes, he is.
No, he's
yes,
not going to sell out.
He's
going to do well. But he's not going to sell it.
Yes,
a lot of people.
If that fight was in
the Philippines, yeah, he's not going to sell out Texas Stadium fighting that guy.
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is that he got to understand that whether he draws 20 flies or one fly,
If you said Ali was fighting, they didn't ask you who was fighting. The fight was sold out.
No, Tyson, you're making comparison with different ages, man.
I'm talking about fighters who Mike Tyson. If they said Mike Tyson was fighting tomorrow, wherever he was fighting, it'd be sold out.
Because he has a rep. The same thing as Pacquiao has a rep. And don't tell me the people are not going to go fly to see Pacquiao.
Dusty, Pacquiao sold out. The Pacquiao Mosley fight sold out within the first 2 hours.
Exactly. They have the highest pay-per-view seller.
Why did it sell out? Because he was fighting Mosley. Do you think that fight would have sold out in 3 days if he's fighting this guy from Mexico? Do you think that fight would have sold out in 3 days if he's fighting John Duddy?
But did you read the paper?
Basically, Doc is saying one plus one has to equal two. You can't have a superstar in a zero and expect to sell out a fight. You have to have two great fighters.
But you got to understand
what Doc is trying to say.
Dusty, let's let it talk.
Pacquiao and Mosley sold out 3 days.
Yeah,
and
but why? Mosley's not chopped liver, Dusty. Mosley's not chopped liver. Okay.
Speaking of Mosley, I think Mosley's pretty much a pay-per-view fighter.
I never said he was chopped liver. In fact, I even picked him to be Pacquiao. Here is a Mexican billionaire who's telling Pacquiao,
Dusty,
fight my boy.
It's a can't lose for Pacquiao. But you're not going to tell me Pacquiao's going to sell the place out.
He is going to sell out the place because it's a matchup. Canelo Alvarez is the second coming, as they're saying. A Saturday night, he sold out. And he's fighting some bum from England. Canelo Alvarez is an undefeated, high-rise superstar. He's the next Golden Boy.
What's his record?
His record is, 41 and nothing with 27 knockouts, and he's only 20 years of age.
Alvarez isn't really ready yet, but right now, Doc.
You haven't
right
heard
now,
of Alvarez,
Pacquiao,
Doc.
Right now, Pacquiao is must-see right now.
Exactly. He's the money man.
Yeah, but
well, they're making him out to be the next Chavez, and I don't really agree with that 100%. I mean, with him being
Alvarez?
The next Chavez, no way.
Well, they'll never be
how it was upstate at the International Boxing Hall of Fame this year when Tyson was inducted.
It was ridiculous.
Compared to last year,
it was ridiculous.
We
it was ridiculous. And you gotta look at the fact that really through the whole time we were there, it wasn't until that Saturday and Sunday that we saw the amount of people that we saw.
Yeah.
Because they knew that he was going to be there along with Stallone. And those two people alone, Drew. I mean, you got a lot of people that were there that weren't like boxing fanatics like myself. But, you know, would you ask them to name any heavyweight contender other than Tyson?
Absolutely.
They probably wouldn't be able to or whatever.
Absolutely.
But a lot of people were there, and it was ridiculous. It was really insane.
One of you mentioned Sergio Martinez.
He was there.
I'm sorry, Coco. I'm sorry. I can't. What were you saying?
I said one of you, someone on our illustrious panel mentioned Sergio Martinez earlier.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And that was good because I believe in the next week or two, I'm very, very interested to see the return of one Paul Williams.
Yeah.
I'm very anxious to see how he looks.
Paul Williams is still alive?
Yeah, he's fighting somebody.
Yeah, I'm telling you that he's going to come back, and he's going to come back viciously.
Well, I mean,
very
vicious. He's coming back too to fight HBO too.
Was that Dusty?
Yeah,
was
fighting junior middleweight.
Zab Judah, he's coming back too. By the way,
kudos to Sergio Martinez, and C. Wings will agree with me. Has to be the biggest gentleman that we ran into at the Boxing Hall of Fame. Literally stayed signing autographs over an hour and a half. Till literally his hand was numb for most of the kids. And Dusty, I know that you had mentioned prior about his willingness to contribute to domestic violence. And,
starting
his, I mean, what a gentleman. Did not turn away one autograph.
Absolutely.
C. Wings will agree with me. Has to be one of the biggest gentlemen that we ran into at the Grand National Boxing Hall of Fame.
Was Lou DiBella there?
Yes, he was, and shook my hand and gave me a kiss and said hello.
I'm jealous.
He remembered me from the BB King, being a BB King with
great,
Doc,
great.
And was an absolute gentleman as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, you know, Sergio Martinez is a dude who, when he commits himself, he's a personable guy. In fact, I think I told you, Doc, he was inundated by reporters. I couldn't get a word in HY. He said, don't worry about it. You and I got a one-on-one. And he kept his promise.
Yes.
We went to the corner. We went one-on-one. We had a tremendous interview.
Doc interviewed him for the fight with Paul Williams, and, you know, I mean, I'm not Paul Williams. Who was the other fighter he was fighting that day at?
In Connecticut. The Russian guy.
In Connecticut. And he stayed there, and, you know, even with me translating and everything in Spanish,
exactly.
I mean, he was a gentleman with Doc as well. I mean, he's an absolute gentleman.
Well,
most fighters are
and covering this sport. Big C, you back with us? Big C? Okay, I want a station block. Well, of all the athletes I've covered.
I'm back in touch.
Okay, when you get a chance, you know what, Big C, why don't we hit that station break for us one time, and then we'll talk some more boxing. We got to talk some basketball, and we got to see if we're going to play any football this year. So, gentlemen, Doc Stanley, Sports Network, and the Blake, Radio Network, Rainbow Social, and Sports Network, the show. Big C, take it away, please.
Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Now, where's that young lady at?
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Happy birthday, Dave Hersha, who celebrates today.
Oh, Mr. Trackman.
Yeah, right. Roberto Duran on the 16th. Bobby Goodman and Leroy Neiman on the 8th. Mayor David Deacon has the birthday in June. The Hoopster
And
yes.
My daughter and my Uncle Robert, my grandson on the 20th, my sister, 27, Derek Jeter, and my late grandfather, 26, cousin on the 29th, Gilberto Ortiz and Mike Tyson are also June birthday babies. And we just, also my father-in-law, Edwin Santiago Perez, and we just want to say happy birthday to everybody else, Joe the Freitas, yesterday on the 18th, and the lovely, mysterious Nayara de Lima from Fort Delay. Actually, she's Brazil, but she's from another city. So we just want to say happy birthday to everybody in the month of June. And we want to take a little break, go to the CC and Hoopster Corner. Hoopster, we're going to talk to you, the Sea Wings. I want you to stay right with us, talk a little basketball, then we'll get back to the Sweet Science. We got the crew here, so we're going to talk Sweet Science rest of the night. Big fight, David Hay and Klitschko coming up. Harold Weston's got a card coming
up. That was some interview.
Yeah, but Hoopster, Mavericks, you know, somebody said something to me today. Say, what happened to the Lakers?
No defense.
I, you know,
no defense.
I was
so much bickering one another.
I was on the phone today, making my Father's Day calls, and usually, the two of the greatest players ever played. Well, actually, you know, I called three basketball players in a row, and I said, man, they were some tremendous players. I got John Starks always usually catch, but I got his voicemail this time. I always get Magic Johnson's voicemail, but I called Julius Erving, and I got Julius, and we chatted for a little while. And I had told him, I just come back from Brazil and plan to move there. And he said, well, you know, why you want to go to Brazil? I said, well, he said, you know, Mel, when I see you face to face, you can tell me why. But three of the greatest players. The Lakers, Dallas beat the Lakers. Was that Lewis Hoopster? Was that kind of, did that tell you right then and there that they were going to go all the way? Or they were the team to beat out there in the West?
No, not really, no. I thought the Lakers were the team to beat.
Hmm. But I'm saying, but after the Lakers beat him, did you say, okay, Dallas is going to go all the way?
No, not really.
Hmm. No, okay. We they get to the finals. I mean, you know, kid, twice with the Nets, finally got there again.
17 years.
Yeah, with this team. The first game, I look back at the series, strange series, not strange. First game, Dallas is up big. They lose it. They come back and win the second game. Then they go home, lose the very first game there. So if Miami wins that second game, they're up 3-0. But on the other hand, if Dallas wins that first game, they come home 2-1. Miami never gets out. What happened to Miami? So where did they fall short?
Where did they fall short?
Yeah.
There was no deep. I don't know. Bad shooting. Too many 3-pointers. Out there trying to take it to the basket. They're out there shooting threes.
Mm-hmm.
Take it to the basket.
Hmm.
That's right.
I think, Doc, that the Maverick bench was a little
defense,
much better.
It's a veteran awesome.
A little much better than the Heat bench.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I saw. That's where I saw the tide coming in. And then Nowitzki, who was supposed to be the plow horse, he was injured, his elbow, bad hand, had a cough, the whole 9 yards. And there he was chucking in 3-pointers, hitting with laying up with a bad hand. They couldn't stop this guy. This guy was a workhorse. And
yeah, I remember one game too. The game where Miami lost and Dallas won that second game in Miami, where it just worked. The defense had everybody else cut off. Jason Kidd was the one guy in 3-point lane, and who wanted to shoot the ball. He shot it. He made the three. And you know, for all intents and purposes, the game was over there. Hoopster, we're looking at two things here. A better New York season next year, but there's talk there may not be no basketball next year. Am I right?
That's right. They're going to talk again Thursday. They're going to talk again on Thursday.
That's so bad, man. It's so
And also, the draft is coming up, too, the NBA draft, so you don't get to watch that. And also, Dr. Dad, you're going to congratulate Mark Jackson, got a coaching job for the Golden State Warriors.
Yep,
not only that, Mark Jackson is the only...
And Kevin McHale got a job in Houston Rockets.
Kevin McHale...
And also, Mark's going to be working with Jerry West. He's going to be working with the Warriors organization, too.
The Zeke from Cabin Creek, huh? Jerry West.
He's going to be working with the front office. And
Jerry
he's going to be
again?
A special advisor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Golden State.
And he's going to be on the community board also.
Who's that?
Jerry West.
Well, Mark Jackson
is the one player as a coach who's played the most games of any coach in the history of professional basketball. When he comes in as coach to the Golden State Warriors, he would have played the most games of any coach that's ever coached a team history of professional basketball, and he's number two all-time in assists. I think this guy's a Hall of Famer. And maybe, you know, Golden State is a pretty good team. And, you know, he played out west with the Clippers, so glad to see
him. He's a local kid, man, so you hope he makes good, too.
Yeah.
He's
well,
a local kid.
St. John's played for the Knicks,
yeah,
rookie
absolutely.
Of the year, broke Oscar Robertson's single-season assist record. A lot of positive. Doc Stanley, Sports Dev on the Blake Grid, with Rainbow Soul, Sports Dev, and show the crew is here. Lady A, the Hoopster, C-Wing, the Zusty, Mel Smith, Little Coco, Junior, Harold Weston, Junior, maybe he'll join. He was out of town. Harold's got a fight card coming up. Let me see. I think I have that here. What's that fight card? Harold's got a fight card coming up in Florida. Okay.
Harold. Where's Harold, Bendito?
Harold is putting the fight card together down in Florida. Had called.
Well, I was watching some Harold the other day, Doc. Very slick in the ring. Very slick.
Oh, you did some YouTube?
I did. I watched a little Harold Cuevas, a little Harold Tommy. Very
oh my God,
slick.
Pepino Cuevas! Pepino Cuevas was there too. Sea Wings, right? We talked to Pepino.
Yeah.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, he's got the biggest fist. Oh my God, his hands are huge.
Yeah,
come off as a person, Lady A.
Lady A, go real quickly. We'll get back to Sea Wings. Sea Wings, what's happening with NFL football? Are we going to play football, or is you know, what's the latest on the world of NFL?
Well, Doc, we're entering. We have entered into the over the 100th day of the work stoppage this weekend.
Yeah.
These next week or two. Is going to prove or going to be critical in whether we have football or not this upcoming season. If we look at it, you know, most fans look and say 100 days work stoppage. That's nothing compared to the 1987 strike at one cancer week and 3 weeks of replacement players.
Right.
But July is knocking on the door, which is the start of the training camp.
Yes, spring
these
training,
next 2 weeks are going to be extremely critical for two reasons. One, it's going to prove or disprove whether the owners are going to go down as the greediest people in all professional sports, or is Roger Goodell effective as a NFL commissioner?
Two things.
To persuade these owners to work with the players' union to get this settled and get the players back on the field. Because it's already done damage now that the players are not practicing the way that they should. Yeah, we see some
they're
players
practicing on their own, setting up their own playbooks
But it's not the same as the, the team practices.
Right.
Yeah, the professional, coaches, the doctors, and the trainers. It's just not the same. So pay close attention in the next 2 weeks and to the court rulings, the players, let me correct that, the owners meeting in Chicago this upcoming week, and we'll see what happens from there.
But now, I heard, Sea Wings, that Sanchez and Sanchez and Rivas had a little, their own little mini camp. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Yes. He had Tom Brady.
Right.
Tom Brady was in with the Jets?
No, not with the Jets. He
no,
did his own mini camp. Peyton Manning, the Philadelphia Eagles,
right.
Miami. But it can't mirror that of the
regular
professional
camp,
sports camp.
Yeah.
No way.
Hey, Doc, did you say something about Brady working out? Did you say something about the possibility of Brady working out with the Nets? You know, I understand that Bill Belichick was listening to us and just started holding his heart.
the sad thing about it is that, yes, true to their profession and commitment, they are conditioning themselves, but without leadership. It's not the camp. It's like I would be running, doing jogging for a whole week or 3 weeks, but on my own just to stay in shape. But This is not a structured camp where you have the coaches and the doctors and
everybody. Yeah, but you know, I don't think you guys could really – can you guys actually see that as a negative altogether? I mean, okay, there are some positive things. People are taking an initiative with it themselves to try to do something. I think if somebody was more living a sedentary life and decided to do nothing, I think you would think it was, you know, it was a poor choice on their part. But, however, I mean, they are showing a little bit of leadership amongst themselves. And they are trying to maintain.
They're right, ladies. You're right, ladies.
I mean, in any athletic profession,
correct.
Anytime you're an athlete, I mean, I think it has to be some beneficial to some degree that
you're
staying
in shape. But you only have a select few players actually training.
Well, I mean, I understand that, but I mean, but you know, you can't fault them. I mean, at least they're trying to take some initiative within themselves. I mean, you can't speak for everybody, but at least they're trying to do something.
For
their individual selves.
Right.
Hold on. Okay. Dusty, hold on. Dusty, I want you to go back to the TV. Give us an update on the Yankee game and long ball.
7-4.
The Yankees
are
winning. 7-4. Knicks switcher hit a 3-run homer. The 7-4 Yankees.
Is CeCe still in the game?
CeCe's out. The replacement, I don't know, number 30 is, I think, Robertson. He came in. Soriano from the Cubs hit a 3-run home and killed CeCe.
Another 3-run home run?
No. The first 3-run home
run. Did CeCe get another hit, Dusty?
No, CeCe is out now.
Did he get another hit?
No. He's that was funny. No, he struck out again, that bum.
But Dusty, you do realize that he is a pitcher. You understand that, right?
I couldn't care less. Don't give me that excuse. I don't buy it.
Don't give you that excuse.
I don't buy it.
I understand that, Doc, in the old days, now you and Dusty are a little bit older than I am. Now, look,
exactly.
I understand in the older days, now not to call you guys old, but I hear that back in the day pitchers could hit.
Yes.
Back in the day, pitchers could pitch. They can't pitch today either. Today?
Oh, no.
I remember Juan Marichal and Lawrence Spahn, and it's a Met game, and, you know, and at the end of three, the Braves and the Giants, nothing, Marichal against Spahn, and then again, at the end of seven, 0-0, Marichal against Spahn. They're in the extra innings now. It's the 10th inning, and it's still nothing, Marichal against Spahn. They're in the 13th inning, and it's still nothing, Juan Marichal a pitch, Juan Spahn. They're in the 15th inning, and it's still nothing, Willie Mays just hit a home run in the top of the 16th, and the Giants lead 1-0 in Milwaukee. Yeah. It's in, lady. It's a final. Giants 1. Braves nothing. Marichal over Spahn. Both pitches went 16 innings.
Now you got a pitch count.
Innings.
Now they can't pitch more than 100 pitches.
They can't throw 16 pitches.
17 innings.
That's like three games these days.
They can't go 16. Marichal and Spahn, 16 innings, 1-0, Willie Mays. I remember Gene Mock said he saw Sandy Koufax warming up on the sideline. Through 131 warm-up pitches.
That's crazy.
And then went out and threw a perfect game no-hitter against the Phillies.
Yeah.
Not these days.
I could understand having a bullpen, but the pitcher, Pelfrey the other day went 9 innings. I mean, I could understand, but it's rare now that a starting pitcher goes the whole 9 innings.
You know, Dusty, you talk about the bull. I remember talking to Catfish Hunter, and we were talking about complete game pitches and so forth and so on. And Catfish told me one of the funniest lines I ever heard. He said, the reason why they had the guys out in the bullpen, because they didn't want them in the game in the first place.
Oh, my God.
The reason why they had him out in the bullpen, he said, because they didn't want him in the game in the first place.
Oh, man,
Chicago got walked. Two guys on base right now.
Yep,
one out, bottom of the eighth.
Doc Stanley, Sports Dev on the Blake. Ready to know what Rainbow Show says. Sports Dev on the show. You can't beat this up-to-date inside information. Also, USA in the World in the Gold Cup today, they won today. Panama, they won over Salvador. So the USA and Panama will be fighting for the semifinals to get into the championship round. So USA was a big winner today. I forgot who they beat, though. And Panama was a winner over Salvador. So both games were played in Washington, D.C., down in Washington. And both teams have advanced. Panama, a lot of big Panamanian fans there at the crowd today. So in the Gold Cup, Panama and USA both advanced. Both were big winners. USA 2-0 win. Panama was 1-1, but in penalties, 5 points in the penalty, and they beat Salvador to advance in the Gold Cup. And we had the winner of the U.S. Open. No Tiger. You know what? There seems to be really no interest, Dusty, in the U.S. Open without Tiger Woods in it. I mean, it's a sad thing.
It's almost like golfing. I think you said the word boring. It's almost like it's boring.
Dusty, nobody was paying attention.
Exactly.
Even if Tiger is five back or three back, you already know U.S. Open today, so and so leading Tiger Woods is three back. It's lost its shine, man. It didn't even count. Yeah. I got to feel a little bit. Derek Jeter, what's the story on his injury, Dusty? How long is he going
to
be out?
He's on a 15-day disabled list. Eduardo Nunez got a shot to play shortstop. But, I mean, it's unfortunate that, what was he? He was trying to run out a single, was it? And his calf gave out on him.
And Dusty, let me ask you, how many hits is he away? Is it 10 now he hits away?
He's six.
I was jokingly telling
a Mets fan the other day, I said, well, they're going to have the interleague, so then if Jeter gets his six hits off of the Mets, you know, he'll get his 3,000 hits.
Listen, I'm getting tired of you dissing my team, all right? Enough.
I tell you, you know what? I tell you something. Jose Reyes is having a hell of a year.
Yeah, I know.
Yep.
I know.
You know something? Sadly as it sounds, if Will Powell's going to play with his money, I hope he goes to Boston. Boston can use a shortstop.
You got to question.
What?
You got to question a guy.
Right. I hope he
you got
to
question
Boston.
An owner. Hold on a second, Dusty. You got to question an owner who. No, listen. Whatever happens, you want to talk about leadership. Whatever happens, keep it in the clubhouse. For him to be as boisterous as he was and put down his three-star players, okay, in a moment when you need the team to work cohesively, it's just a slap in the face. You know, he's a kid who's done everything on the team. I mean, back in the day, I don't remember, I think it was the first 2 years, he had hurt his knee, his ankle, everything. He's trying to stay in front and play in the game, and this is the way he repays the kid.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean...
I agree.
Who just said I agree? Is that you, Big C?
Yeah. I agree because real estate people, they're not even baseball people.
Hold on. Big C's a big Met guy. Big C, the platform is yours. Talk to us.
No, I'm just saying, you know, I agree. How are you going to put down your own team?
Exactly.
And in addition to what you're saying, I just think dynamically the morale of a team changes completely.
Absolutely.
When when you got the top-down mentality and you talk about your players that way.
Yeah,
you know,
especially
at a time in the season where you need these players to step up, you know?
Yeah,
I don't know.
And he talked about the idiots who pay these guys money that they weren't worth the money. I mean, he's suffering from the Maddox syndrome where he made a stupid mistake.
Well, you know what? The bottom line is he's getting ready to bail, so he doesn't care who he talks about.
He's gone.
Bloomberg is worth $18 million.
Doc, you got the figures wrong.
$25 billion. Listen, Dusty. You know, I'm the host of the show. Go with me,
billion,
baby. Okay, go with me.
He's one of the top.
I don't need these kind of corrections on air. Off air, we're talking about. Okay, I don't need this on air.
Got the wrong figures, man.
Dusty, it's 18.
No, it's 25.
It's 18.
Yo, Dusty, if I was you, I would agree because I got a feeling you won't be on the show next week, Bobby.
Dusty, 18.
I say the facts. I do my research.
Hang up and check it out again and call us back.
No, it's 25 bills.
No, let me say something. Let me get a word in over here. I have something controversial to say, and I don't know if the panel is going to agree with it.
Hold on, Rooney.
but I'm going to say it anyway.
What's that?
I myself have beef. I have beef as far as Reyes and Beltran, and I'm going to tell you why.
Hold on,
okay.
hold on. Let it go. Rooney, hold on real quickly. I read there was a statue made for Manufacturers Hanover about in the 70s, sold for like $104 million. And it touched me because the lady who brought it was the wife of a billionaire from Brazil. You got to be able to do something more with $104 million and $75 million than to have a guy fight. You donated to the United Doc Stanley Sports and Dev Show or something, pal. My goodness. But now, Rooney, what's your beef? Because usually you kind of quiet. What's your beefing about, Rooney?
This is my beef, Doc. And don't make any mistake, okay? When it comes to Reyes, obviously all the talent in the world, MVP right now, leads the league in everything, offensive numbers, doubles, triples, hits. I mean, Doc, we're at this stage of the season, and Reyes has over 100 hits.
Right.
That's mind-boggling. Those are mind-boggling numbers that he's putting up. He has over 100 hits already. Okay, this is my beef with Reyes, okay? He supposedly now, he and his agent are looking for something in the neighborhood of 7 years, $140 million, and I think they're crazy. Not because if he was to put on this type of offensive display year after year, which is tough to do or anything close to this, but the guy is always hurt. You can barely ever get him on the field. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not blaming him for injuries because being a former athlete, I know that you know how that goes, okay? But it's just interesting to me that here it is, his walk year. Now, all of a sudden, this is his walk year. Now we lead the entire league in everything that counts, and we won 7 years, $140 million. I'm going to tell you straight off the bat, if I was the Mets got that financial thing going anyway, I'd offer him 3 years and $45 million. Dig it or leave it. Serious, simple as that. I would not give this guy 7 years.
Rudy, it ain't your money. $45 million, 3 years of $45 million. Listen, I wouldn't sneeze at it, but aren't you? Listen,
you can't stay on the field, Doc.
But Rooney, this is the year to have the kind of years having.
Exactly.
I know the timing.
I got a hypothetical for you. We give this guy what he's looking for: 7 years and somewhere in upwards of $140 million.
Yeah.
He has a spectacular year, which just happens to be his walk year.
Yeah.
And by the way, the same with Beltran, another guy who's been injured last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now all of a sudden it's his walk year for the new contract, and all of a sudden he's putting spectacular numbers up again.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what happens if there's the thing about Reyes to me, Doc, is not so much about his hurt and gets injuries, even though he can barely stay on the field, but Reyes strikes me as one of those guys who's a top five, top three ball player in both leagues, one of the top three or five players in baseball, and he plays when he feels like it.
Plays when he feels. I remember a guy told me one time that he would never vote for Jim Rice because Jim Rice only played for himself. Let me say, if you're hitting 340 something, you can't be hurting the team. How can you? So he's a double in left field. So Dusty says, I'm not going to score. I'm going to stay at third base. He hits a home run. So, come on. Any positive numbers you do are helping the team. You know, who decides he played? This is the kind of stuff you hear. Mickey Mantle actually played when he felt like it. He was drunk half the time. He was hurt the other half of the time. But everybody talked about what a great play he was.
But you got Coco, if I could just interject for a minute. I understand that you're saying that in this profession, it's imperative for you to maintain a certain level of consistency in order to get that money that you're saying. However, I think that due to the different situations, sometimes, especially, you can't predict when you get hurt, and I don't think that in a lot of these instances,
a great point, because it's not like I go to, you know what, I'm going to ground out the shortstop today, and then I'll hit a double
absolutely.
The next time.
And I don't think, I think that you're talking maximum potential and minimal effort. Or you talking maximum potential and maximum effort?
No, lady, he has the talent to be one of the top three players. As far as I'm concerned,
I understand that.
Reyes has the talent to be one of the top three players in all of baseball.
He is one of the top three players.
He is.
I agree with that. Let's stop for a second.
I think in a lot of
so
ways.
So what are we saying? And
I think in a lot of ways he's overrated, but the boy is one of the top five players in the game.
Right now,
he's the best player in the game.
Absolutely the best.
Absolutely.
MVP, hands down.
And the fact remains
I was wondering when you're going to come and help me out here, buddy.
But I was trying to get a word in.
Talk now.
Yeah, but the fact remains is that, first of all, how did he get his injuries? Not in the barroom fight like Mickey Mantle and the Copacabana. He got his hurt, his injuries, running out.
This is real Dusty.
Sliding, running. I mean, playing the game that he's paid for. And plus, he was shortchanged in his first contract.
You're absolutely right, though. He was
And he all he got was 25 cheap old for 25 mils, and he was better than David Wright.
And
you're right,
Dusty. Can I just say one thing? Can I just say one thing? I think that you know, nowadays in sports, I mean, when you're looking at a level of consistency, it's very far and few between with the people that have that mentality, like Doc was saying, or that appear every single day is the same thing. Nowadays, it's like you, because of things being, you being playing in a game that's so unpredictable sometimes, you can't say, oh, that's it, I'm taking a dive, I'm done. I mean,
exactly.
You know, these are things that happen. And you know, and I think that, you know, it's difficult to maintain that level of consistency. And do you want to pay somebody? Do you want to pay somebody the top amount of money that is able to do that? Absolutely. But it's not
like the Lady A. You know something, Lady A, and I know you and Dusty will probably disagree, and I know Doc probably will. But to me, if I was making a boxing analogy, I know the panel's going to get all on my case, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Go ahead, we're ready.
If I was making a boxing analogy, to me, with the talent that Reyes has, to me, if he was a boxer, he'd be Zab Judah. Can look absolutely awesome.
Hold on. What's the problem with that? You know what? Sea Wings, are you here? Sea Wings? Yeah. Zab Judah is the one Zab Judah is the one fighter in boxing on the right night can beat anybody. He can beat Pacquiao. He can beat Mayweather. Zab Judah, with his head on straight, is the one. Zab Judah is the only guy that was fighting Mayweather that was beating him.
He was beating him.
Dusty, he was beating Frodo until he got cut in the garden.
That's exactly what I'm trying to tell you, that Zab Judah is a different enigma than a Jose Reyes, man. Jose Reyes, yes, one time or two times, Rennie Randolph got on his case because he didn't run out of ground at the first base. Remember that incident? How many ball players today do this? Robinson Cano did it the other day. I said,
Manny Ramirez.
The attitude. Now, when I manage Little League or Single A, Junior Pony, I said, man, a grounder, I don't care. You run it like you've got five pit bulls after you in first place. The day that I catch you logging into first because it's an automatic out, I'm going to bench your ass. And I've done it many times. When you play the game, any sport, you play it full boat. You give your life. You leave your body in that freaking field. That's the way I feel. And Jose Reyes has done it. The fact of the matter is that a lot of times, maybe his body is not as strong as other guys. But remember, he had an illness, a thyroid illness. I mean, is that our fault?
Beginning of this
year. He had a thyroid illness. Now, nobody could fault them for having a thyroid illness. And
that
one
thyroid's
of us
really
get
tricky.
That.
You're right. You're right about
and
that. Thyroid's really
career,
tricky.
A career-ending infection, man.
Well, Dusty, let me ask you, is it coincidence, Dusty and Lady Ann, Doc, is it coincidence that he's leading the world and everything in his walk here? That's what I want to know.
Because he is cured of all injuries, of all infections, and the whole nine yards. This is the way he played in his rookie year. And he got hurt in his rookie year.
He had a problem with his ankle too for a while too.
Ankles, his legs, the whole nine yards. Now he is worth the money, but this Wilpon comes out of nowhere, talks about his own shame because he got tied up to Maddox and now he's blaming everybody else for paying these overrated ball players. That's nonsense.
And I also think that in sports, you know, you're going to have these inconsistencies, and, you know, things are going to happen. I mean, you got guys that stay in a hitting slump forever, but eventually when they do come out, you know, they're hitting better than when before they got in the slump. So, I mean, maintaining consistency is just difficult altogether. I mean, do you have guys?
Well, the only thing about that, Lady A, with me is what Reyes says, like I said, my own personal opinion, I think you all concur, when he's right and he wants to play, he's the most exciting player in baseball.
Yes. Yes.
Rooney, you got to cut out this white terminology of when he wants to play. You know what I mean?
I find it interesting that all of a sudden the guys are all in the world.
The problem is, it's like a fight. Take the sound off a fight and watch the fight. Don't listen to Jim Lamley. Oh, that right hand stagger.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly. Well, Lamley doesn't know what he's talking about,
off,
but that's a whole other question.
Yo, it's amazing. Roberto Clemente was a hypochondriac, but Mickey Mantle was the hero. Mantle's drunk and smoking reefer, and
there you go. Exactly.
And Clemente is playing with a bad back and knees, but he's a hypochondriac.
Yeah, but well, Doc, look at the 86 Mets. No, look how much of a motley crew they were, and look what they were able to accomplish. You know what I'm saying?
Good job, Lady A. And they just got rid of Kevin Mitchell and the rest of them.
You're 100% right. Yep. You can't go by what people are saying.
And the sad thing about the Mets, you know, they got rid of Kevin Mitchell, who was World could play every place.
The winning run or the tying run?
Yeah. They got rid of World because, you know, basically it was too. He was like a bad influence, and you know, I guess they had a quota on black players. I mean, it's amazing. How do you get rid of a guy who winds up being the home run king and the MVP of the league?
Exactly.
But you got rid of him
fast.
You know who said exactly what you're saying, Doc?
What's that? Rooney Clemente
was a hypochondriac, a phony, who always claimed he was sick and injured, and yet he busted his chops. I mean, playing some ball. I mean, this man played some ball, and because he got injured legitimately, he was a hypochondriac. That's
the greatest right fielder that ever lived. Roberto.
Doc, you know, besides you, is the first person I ever heard say the Mets had a quota, Doc.
By the way, thanks to you that I finally got to meet the man.
The great author George Rush Jr. has always had a quota on the black.
Well, what they've done now is with the influx of Latin players, especially the Dominicans, who are dark skinned, you somehow look out there and don't realize that it's perpetrating a fraud. I mean, George Willis did a great article about 10 years ago about the deletion of the black player in baseball. Let's do the Yankees.
Do you guys know the history of the Mets? Let me explain something to you.
Hold on, let me bring this point up, Dusty. Third base is Alex Rodriguez. Second base is Jeter, shortstop. Second base is Cano. First base is Tex. You got one black player. Okay, you got Posada behind the plate. You go to outfield, you got Granville, you got Swisher, and you got the other. I mean, I remember when the Mets outfield, when the Yankee outfield, I mean, you had first base was Chambliss, Randolph, Robinson, Nello was the lone white guy. The outfield was Rivers, Winfield, and Reggie Jackson.
Exactly. Speaking of Reggie Jackson, Doc.
Huh?
Let me tell you something. Speaking of Reggie Jackson, do you know who Reggie Jackson? I mean, Reggie Jackson was the first round draft of who? Do you remember the history?
It was the first round, and the Mets said they're not going to take him because he's got a white wife.
Exactly. Dusty, wait a minute.
And the Yankees didn't take Vic Powell because he was Cuban. They thought his wife was white.
Right. And the fact of the matter is that Reggie Jackson's wife was a Mexican because he's half Mexican.
And Vic Powell's wife was Cuban.
Exactly.
Because he's a
Cubano. This is the color line you're talking about, man.
I don't know what ever happened to a solid citizen named Roy White.
Roy White?
Roy White told me that, I remember he was coming through the train, we were talking the other day, and then he said, you know, when the Yankees let him go, he heard about it on television. I got the TV on and heard about it on TV. C-Wing.
Speaking of the Yankees, guys, 10-4 right now.
10-4 Yankees?
Yeah,
C-Wing.
They're taking the Cubs.
We want to get back to you. We got you there. It's okay, Wings. We talked a little football up at the Hall of Fame. Tell us some more about the atmosphere up there with you and Lady A at the Hall of Fame.
Oh, I mean, we haven't seen a crowd like this, and this was backed up by the workers and the volunteers. They haven't seen a crowd like this, I believe, since anywhere near it, since George Foreman or Roberto Duran was in the Hall of Fame. I mean, it was unbelievable. Lady A could back me up with this. We were up there last year, and the crowds were nowhere near the level. It had to be, what, Lady A, about 300 people, 400 people when Tyson came out?
Oh, you mean just to bum rush him on the golf court? Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Yeah,
And we went up there last year Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And Saturday is when Tyson came through. I mean, the atmosphere. You even saw boxers that weren't up there last year. You know, Leon Spinks. Who else? Lou Duva. It was
Pepino Cuevas. Pepino Cuevas. We had Pepino Cuevas there. Julio Cesar Chavez. Julio Cesar Chavez was there.
Azuma Nelson,
Mickey Ward, Dickie Eklund. Mm-hmm.
Well, it was unbelievable. Kasia Zoo
got his ring,
mm-hmm.
And there was a whole bunch. It was
Jake LaMotta. Jake LaMotta was there.
It was a media fest and a fighter fest because of the fact of the personalities, especially Mike, who was being inducted.
You don't understand what we saw. It was like, we really, I mean, especially right for our safety, right, Sea Wings? We were like,
oh, man.
This is crazy.
They only had three cops. Three cops.
Oh, wow.
You know what's so funny that you guys should know about Mike is, you know, I grew up with them, so I know the family personally. You know, when we were all growing up, Mike actually didn't want to be a boxer. We all wanted to be wrestlers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, we were all together. I had my Spanish friends, my black friends. You know, I wanted to be superstar Billy Graham. Mike's older brother, Rodney, wanted to be Ernie the Big Cat Lass. Mike wanted to be Pedro Morales. My friend Waldo wanted to be Mel Mascara.
Mascara. Oh, my God.
The great Mel Mascara.
Oh, my God.
My man Waldo wanted to be Mel.
Dusty, he said, Mean Mascara.
Yeah, Mean Mascara. Oh, my God.
You know the thing about Mean Mascara? They used to try to take off his mask, and if he took off his mask, there'd be another one right underneath.
Exactly.
A famous movie star from Mexico.
Hey, Doc, I know I joined the panel kind of late tonight, but I didn't join from when it first started. I just wanted to pay homage to Clarence Clemons of the E Street Band.
Oh, wow.
Probably one of the best saxophonists in the business in recent history.
Yeah.
Tragically passed away yesterday after a serious stroke and two
He's been in
brain surgeries.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy had to be one of the best saxophonists in the business.
An icon. Right. An icon, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, he was the backup. He was the backbone of Bruce Springsteen. I mean, no doubt about it. And they can Springsteen, whatever his name is, has the name and everything, but the background was this guy Clemons. I mean, without him, you know, he would not have been where he's at today. But that's my feeling anyway. But the man was a. He was just 69, but he was in bad health. And you know, once you, Satch was the same thing. His heart started going, and he started blowing that horn. He never gave up blowing the horn, and that you basically, you don't rest because you put a lot of tax, on your heart. And that's basically what the heck happened with this guy. But you don't stop performing.
Absolutely.
You got to continue. You know, so that's the sad thing that you get sick. And it's not, unfortunately, I hate to make comparisons, but it's not like a firefighter, a police officer. You get wounded, you get hit. You know, you're out of the job and you're pensioned off. Here, this man he gets better. Like Sasquatch gets better, comes out of the hospital, he's back on. You're doing his gigs, man. You know, and that's basically what it is. But that's a sad thing, though. But what can you do, man? Rest in peace, man.
We're talking about who now, Dusty?
Clemons, the guy was the backup man to Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, that was sad. Yeah.
The
saxophone player.
Yeah.
Hall of Fame musician. Yeah.
Yeah. He part of that, the famous band, you know, he's talking about musicians, and I was talking about, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, his dad was a captain in the police department, and a lot of people, the lieutenant thought he was a tremendous trumpet player. A lot of people thought he had kind of went in the wrong direction. You know, it's 11:24, it's about 11:15. Doc Sandy's posting up on the Blake video, but Rainbow Soul Chan's posting up for the show. The crew is in the house. Lady A, C-Wings, Little Coco, Mel Smith Jr., Dusty, and behind the controls is none other than the Big C, Enterprise Extended. Doc Sandy, back from Brazil for the Lasers, spent a month down there. I'll say hi to my good friend Steve, who was just so helpful for me. They landed apartment. Once again, saying happy birthday to Niyata and the crew here, none other than Hoopster, and who is hit the big 5-0. Also want to say happy birthday to Joel the Freitas yesterday. Today, my good friend Dave Hershey, I got to send him an email if I leave out, who worked with the legendary Joe Goldstein. Roberto Duran on the 16th. Leroy Neiman hit the big 9-0 on the 8th, along with Bobby Goodman, who celebrated. But David Dinkins had a funny story the other day. He said, you know, he was at a, had some other friends whose birthday was, they hit the big 9-0, and he was said, you know, he says, you know, I'm you know, I'm like just, you know, 6 years, you know, in the same ballpark, you know. So one kid, little kid said, well, you're 96? Thinking of me, 84. Well, you're 96 years old. You know, Leroy Neiman, you know, had the leg amputated. He's got another. He looked great. We had some fun riding down with him because they said, "Mel, you want to ride down with us back to the studio?" And he talked about Duran, whose birthday was the 16th. And you know, he's done a painting of Duran's grandmother for Duran.
Wow.
The painting, I still have the painting. He's done Reggie Jackson. Reggie called me about 3 days before I left. Denny Skiles called and said, "Doc, man, Reggie Jackson wants Leroy Neiman's number." I said, "Well, you know," I said, "no." So let me take out my phone. Told Reggie to give me a call. So Bunk called. He said, "Hello." He said, "This is Reggie Jackson." I said, "Reginald Martinez Jackson?" "Yeah." He says, "I said, you know," I said, "it's funny." I said, "You asked for Leroy's number." I said, "I was talking to Leroy, and we was talking about the night you did 3 home runs." I said, "Leroy told me that you said, you know, Leroy, you know, I got a feeling tonight I'm going to do something special." And Leroy told Reggie, "Well, you know, Reggie, you always say that, you know what I mean?" Reggie said, no, tonight I got a feeling." And that's the night he hit the 3 home runs.
Oh,
and,
three different pitches.
Three different pitches. And the first pitch. I remember the thing, one of the most telling things about that was when he rounded first base after the third home run, Steve Garvey quietly, dignifiedly, and classily was applauding in his glove. He was applauding in his glove. You know, when Reggie turned and headed towards second base, Garvey applauded. He was clapping in his glove.
No kidding.
You know, and Garvey's a guy, I think, you look at his numbers, and some of the guys in the Hall of Fame. You know, Ryan Sternberg's in the Hall of Fame, Steve Garvey. But Garvey was part of the only team in history of baseball that had four guys that hit 30 or more home runs. He hit 37 at first base. The Penguin, Ron Say, hit 37 at third base. Reggie Smith, one of the great defensive outfielders, great throwing arms in history of baseball, in right field. And Dusty Baker, the only African-American manager to win Manager of the Year twice, and I think the most popular manager in history of the game, Dusty Baker.
Nice guy, too.
Oh, that great guy. And all four of those guys hit 30. In fact, I have one of Dusty's bats, would make it really special, because Dusty was the guy that made the record, because he was the last guy to get 30 home runs. And Dusty told me a story about that. You know, I heard so much about Tom. Doc Stanley's posting up on the Blake. Read a little bit. Rainbow Souls is posting up the show. Big C, if you're here, throw the commercial break in. If not, I'll keep on talking. And everybody told me how great.
Broadcasting. Commercial break. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Big C on cue.
Okay, and where's that lady at, Big C? Give the lady a shot. I know it's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. We can let her say something for her. Oh, you know what? Better still.
Oh.
No, no. Let's say, and then, and now she said.
Let her go.
Let her go, and then play a little jazz.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com, music for your mind, body, and soul.
Hey, Doc.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know you had mentioned earlier. I mean, I know we were talking about Zab Judah. He's got that fight with Amir Khan coming up. I'm just kind of interested in finding out everyone's panel's perspective.
Hold that thought. We're going to talk about the next step. Right now, what I want to do is I want some jazz in the background, and I want to sit here and let's just for the next couple of minutes say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers on the panel and reflect on our dads. Your baseball, Switcher talked so much about how baseball is such a game of fathers. I remember my dad, James Stanley Sr., and the first baseball glove I ever got was a Jackie Robinson model. We look at some of the great dads that we've known as professionals. Art Russ Jr., who's passed on. We just lost the great Bill Gallo, Bill Shannon. Shannon, I think, was you know, in Fire, and Gallo, who we lost so recently. You know, we're talking about the great Art Russ Jr. And great dads, I mean, you know, Dusty and C-Wings, who Cedric Raymond, who's such a great father to his two. My mother loves his two twin daughters, you know, and Dusty, who's got this, you know, my niece Gabby, greatest niece in the world, Hugh Powell and Dave Zeno and the famous dad. You know, today I got on the phone, and before we did the show, I shouted out to Eddie Murray, who's having dinner with his daughters, and I talked earlier to Julius Erving, who's having brunch, and got a call to Buddy McGirt earlier today. Shouted out to John Starks and left Lou Medmel for Magic Johnson. You know, these great players who forget, you know, what great fathers they are. John McEnroe, what a great father McEnroe is. He talked about, you know, that 9/11 situation, how he was preparing breakfast for his kids, fixing the melons and the fruits, and his father, what a great dad he's had. I remember Mr. Mack was at a basketball game one time, and I'm walking past him. He said, "Doc, can you get the score of the soccer game between so-and-so and such-and-such?" But it's Father's Day, and so often mothers seem to get more of the highlight. And we're going to salute the mothers who are great mothers, too. And great fathers, but yeah, we're gonna take a time out for dad, and because, you know, Father's Day came about because of a daughter whose mother had passed away, and she wanted her father, who had come in and done this tremendous job, and you know, a man doesn't need to be told what he has to do. I mean, you know, a real man does what he has to do, like a real friend does. But it's Father's Day, and I remember. You know, as we all can just stop it and reflect on memories of our fathers. Charlie's dad is in Columbia. Dusty, for so many years, took care of his dad and the Hoopster, C-Wings, who's just a great example of a father. I remember Father's Day of June 1964. I brought my father a ticket to the baseball game. In those days, you could see some doubleheaders. And it was Father's Day, June 1964. Jim Bunning threw the perfect game no-hitter against the Mets. And I remember my dad was sitting there, a big Mets fan. My dad said, "This don't make no sense." He said, "Didn't nobody get a hit?" Yeah. I said, "Dad, it's a no-hitter, but
it's not supposed to get a hit."
Johnny Stevenson struck out swinging for the 3-2 pitch for the last out. Bunning became, I think he's the only pitcher or the first to throw no hitters in both leagues. Yeah, as because Holiday became not that Holiday wasn't, but well, you know, just like I said, it's Father's Day, and we just want to say across the world, y'all here in the United States, and y'all in Cuba and Panama and Brazil and Russia, Happy Father's Day. I mean, it's funny, you know, I found out that in Brazil, Mother's Day seems to be a universal thing throughout the world, but Father's Day in Brazil is in August sometime. But it's, you know, it's here in the United States, and we want to pray and salute the number one father in America, which is Obama. You know, what he's going through and what he does with his two girls. And like I said, you know, it's Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports in Depth, the show. Neil. Mr. Neil Blake, who's founded this station and who's babied this thing, and who is the guy who has allowed us to have this platform to talk to the world, where I can bring not only the best panel, this is the greatest panel in the world, Lady A, the Hoopster, C-Wings, Destino Baby Laws, Little Coco, Mel Smith Jr., Harold West is not with us, Bert Flowers will sometimes join us. Next week, we're looking to do a show. I'm having Harvey Farmer, who's just done a book on Fenway Park. We'll do a little promo with him. He's going to be there. I have another gentleman, Mr. Wirtz. He was at the affair. In fact, I'll make sure we do a little promo in the near club. Another maybe 10 minutes or so, we'll talk about who the guests are going to be next week. Both guys wanted to be on the show, and I'm also going to try to get an artist. You know, as he was talking to Leroy the other day, he was saying, you know, back in the 70s and 60s, you know, their art was not displayed in galleries because they had to hang them out in the streets, on the sidewalks and stuff, and because of, you know, the racist context of things. But we get some people in here. But the one of them is Harvey, who did that great book about Yankee Stadium. He's done a book about Fenway Park. I met him a couple of years ago, and he was taken back by both my knowledge of the sport and my relationship and friendship with none other than the late Art Rush Jr. But it's Father's Day. And like I said, you know, dads sometimes don't get the kind of props they should. So for these last few minutes, last few seconds, did you play some jazz in the background, Bixie? A little music in there? And we just want to... Yeah, give me a little music. Give me some music there. And we just want to... salute to fathers. These are on the panel. Got a chance to, when I give Rooney a shout, got a chance to talk to his dad. And
yeah, that was awesome, Doc. Good job.
Two
of the awesome guys in my life, the great Mel Doc Stanley and the great Mel Smith Jr.
Rooney, you
as far as I'm concerned.
Well, thanks a lot, but we both got the great Mel Smith Jr., Little Coco. And so we got a little music in the background, and just want to just say, you know, Dad, wherever you are, it be Cuba or Brazil or Panama or Salt Lake City, Utah, or Buffalo, New York, we want to say Happy Father's Day to you. Hope you had a great day. We love you. We thank you for little things that you do. We thank you for being Dad. You know what I mean? As you look back, I remember as a kid, no matter how fast I ran, how much of a jump I got on my dad always could catch me. You know what I mean? No matter how fast, you know, and my father had the greatest handwriting. He was left-handed, but he had the most beautiful handwriting in the world. And my dad, my father, Eddie Murray, my brother James, nobody says Melvin like they do, you know, the way they say Melvin. And, you know, I asked my dad one time, you know, I'm the first boy, but how did you turn around and name me not after you and name my brother James, who was your third kid? He said, well, I named you after my best friend. My best friend at the time was Melvin, and he was sitting on the hospital steps with me, and I told him if it was a boy, I'll name me after you. My mother said, she said, yeah. He said, Melvin had done just, he was a great friend and had done just a great thing for him, and I was named after my father's best friend named Melvin. And you people here are my best friends. And with that, we got us a good half hour left for this. So we'll talk some more sports. Of course, we got boxing going to be at the forefront now. You know, Zab Judas fighting Khan. We've got Hay fighting Klitschko. We've got Pacquiao's going to be fighting at the latter part of the year. Pretty Boy Floyd Mayweather is back. We're going to talk some more the induction of Mike Tyson. Bill Gallo, who at his funeral held at St. Patrick's, I got a chance to see. I was going to have a book coming too. I hope that dumb. You know, I had a parcel sent to me by UPS. I think it might have been Sal Marciano's book. You know, but Sal Marciano tells a great story. He said of all his Ali stories, he loved the one he said when they had to fight in Zaire. They took the gloves and they put him in jail behind the cell. And he told Ali, he said, you know, the gloves that you and Foreman are going to fight with tomorrow, they put him in jail. And Ali said, what? Ali said, what they do that for? He said, they ain't done nothing yet. And and he he's got some Sal has some great stories. And he was there. George Willis was also at the funeral. Frank Ramos, legendary PR man for the New York Jets. Omar Minaya, former GM of the Mets, was there, and he said, "You know, Doc, he said, you know, I still get those daily words that you send me." Lynn Quayle, the angel and right hand lady, girl Friday for Leroy Neiman and Leroy's lovely wife Janet, were there. Just a host of dignitaries, people you hadn't seen. Michael Kay was there. Dag, I had Michael's number on that phone too. Michael Kay was there. Just a host of great people, and you know, the sports fraternity were there. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Radio, with Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports Network for the show, saluting dads, and now it's back to the sweet science. Lady A is going to kick it off. You talked about the Khan and Zab Judah fight. That fight,
that'll
where's
be
that
a
fight
great
going
fight.
To be? Yeah, well, where's that fight going to be at, though, Lady A? Yeah, we got a fight on that.
I don't know exactly where it's going to be at. I was hoping actually to be at the Garden, man, where we could all
July
go.
July 23rd.
Oh, no, you said where it's going to be at. I know the date. I don't know where it's going to be at, though. I was hoping it would be at MSG.
Well, I didn't hear any local stadium. You know,
Zeb has been fighting out of the Prudential Center over in Newark, New
Jersey. They're trying to do it there with Kathy Dua, but I think Khan has the site and all that because he's, I think he's Golden Boy or Bob Arum or one of them guys. But there's a strange story here. The strange story is, Lady A, is the fact that the fight was geared for Timothy Bradley and Khan.
That's why I was surprised when I saw him as the opponent.
Right.
I saw Judah as the opponent.
After Khan got rid of the English guy, and then Bradley, after he got rid of Alexander, he says, okay, Khan, stop hiding because now I'm going after you. July 23rd, it was a detailed date. And then all of a sudden, we interviewed Khan, and Bradley all of a sudden pulled out. He didn't want to do the contract and all that. Zab Judah was standing by the wayside. He says, wait a minute, he doesn't want it, I'll take it. And that's
Devin Alexander has another fight coming up, too. He's fighting...
Yes, he's fighting Matisse.
He's fighting the 25th, isn't he?
Yeah, he's fighting Matisse, the guy
out of St. Louis.
That Zab Judah beat. The Colombian guy, he was undefeated to Zab Judah beat him, Matisse. But this is how Zab Judah got the fight with Amir Khan. He says, wait a minute. Bradley doesn't want it, I'll take it. And let me tell you something. I give Zab Judah an outside chance to beat Khan, as good as Khan is supposed to be. We trashed Zab Judah as being a front runner, and he gets cold, and you know he's.
Zab Judah is the one guy that can be
anybody.
Right. I'm going to tell you guys something.
He can be Mayweather and Khan. You know, if Zab is all there, Khan is no problem for him.
I'm gonna take you guys back to a fight. I'm gonna see if you guys remember this fight. And this is when I particularly became impressed with Zab Judah. And you're 100% right, Doc. I have to agree with your statement. The fight that he had with Corey Spinks, you guys remember that fight? Because they fought
Yes.
The first fight, he went to Cincinnati and fought him, and he lost.
And
he was on TV. I'll never forget this. I was watching the New York one, and he was on TV, and he said, I am going to go back and beat him again. And everybody was like, yeah, okay. He's like, no, I'm going to go back. I'm going to fight him again, and I'm going to beat him. And he went
and fought him
in Cincinnati and beat his behind. It was so bad that the referee, he looked at the referee and said, are you going to stop this fight before I kill this kid? You guys remember that?
Because Zab Judah beat him the first time.
Yes.
And they gave it to Corey Spinks.
Correct. And he said, I'm going to go back and I'm going to beat him in Cincinnati.
See, Zab Judah has his Brownsville mentality, and I hate to use that. Brownsville mentality, he's a rock star, he's a diva, he's this, he trains for a week, and he's ready to go. If he had his mind centered on
his great career, he was so motivated, he took a pay cut in the contract to fight the guy.
But the fact is that if he had gotten out of that rock star mentality, training 2 weeks and then hanging out for 3 weeks,
he would have been, let me tell you, it used to work for Benitez. Remember, I remember. I remember Vito Antifermo said he.
But
Antifermo said he's done this 3 mile run, right? He's coming in, you know, and he's cooling down. And here comes Benitez out of the hotel with his running stuff on. And Benitez takes off and runs around the hotel and runs past Antifermo and right back into the hotel.
Right into the hotel. Yeah, but see, those are cute. Human interest stories, but it doesn't condition a person.
No. Some guys it works for, and some guys it don't. Wilfred Benitez was the greatest defensive fighter of his generation. And like Harold Weston said, you know, these boys were training from 5, 6 years old. Some guys it works for, some guys it don't. My money, like I said, Zab Judah on the right night.
I agree with you.
I think this Zab Judah is refocused. You know what? You know, Khan went, 11 rounds with Paulie Malignaggi? Who the hell is Paulie Malignaggi?
Right.
Well, He went 11 rounds with Paulie Malignaggi.
Also, let's not forget this. He fought Maidana, okay?
Yeah.
And you guys know, at the end of that fight, Maidana was in there. He went down and he said, I'm going to come back. And he fought him to the end.
That's right.
He almost knocked him out in the 10th round, Maidana. I mean, Maidana.
So, I mean, Khan.
Khan almost got knocked out in the 10th round.
That you're 100% right.
Right.
This is the deal, okay?
What I'm saying to you is that Zab Judah, on a good night, with his hellacious, freaking, powerful uppercut, can knock out anybody.
I mean, you know what? And the thing with Baltimore, you know, it wasn't that Baltimore won. It was the fact that Zab lost. And still, in spite of all that, shucks, Zab still got the fight with Mayweather, which almost turned out to be a bad move.
That was
the
contract.
They still could have said, well, you lost. I mean, so, okay, listen, let's do this real quickly. Okay, Lady A, Zab, Khan, who wins the fight?
I got to give it to Judah. I think guys are sleeping on him. I think he has the possibility to beat him. I'm not impressed by Khan. I'm really not impressed by him as a fighter.
Nice guy, but I'm not. But Dusty, you already picked Zab. Z-Wings, who you
Zab
like?
Feel Zab has an outside chance because of his power, and he's
you
a
got
top
him. You got
for
him.
God's
okay, sake. C-Wings, who you like in this one? C-Wings? Okay, Rooney.
Doc, like I said, I'm going with Lady A on this one. I dig Zab, and quickly, the reason is I pretty much know what to expect and what I'm going to get from Khan. If Zab is on and interested... And, Doc, I know you're going to get on my case when I say this,
go ahead.
I pretty much know what I'm going to get from Khan. If Zab is on and interested, this could be fight of the year.
Rooney, that's your classic line. You got to pin that. But you're right. the thing with Zab, you never know what Zab's going to do. Hoopster, who you like in this one?
Hey, Doc, can you hear me?
Yeah, okay. C-Wings, you're back. C-Wings, Zab, Judah, and Khan, who do you like in that fight?
I have to agree. If Zab, Judah is on his game, I'd say Zab, Judah in 8 rounds. Tops.
Wow. The only problem that I have, if I could interject this, is that he's fallen under the tutelage of, oh my God,
Pernell
Whitaker.
I don't think Pernell Whitaker can hurt him. I think it's definitely advantageous.
He needs Buddy McGirt in his corner is what he needs.
Well, you know, it's funny you said that.
Well, you know, you guys are using that analogy, but let's not forget that, you know, it's a southpaw with a southpaw. He's training a southpaw. I mean, you know, I mean, Pernell is also a southpaw, okay? And Pernell definitely has what it takes to teach him what he has to do. I mean, look at the fight with Chavez.
Not only that, with Pernell Whitaker in his corner, that's some points. You know, judges are going to look over there. You know, Pernell Whitaker was one of the most popular fighters of his generation. To me, vastly overrated, you know. But he was popular, he was well-liked, and he had the right people in his corner. And you know,
the problem
that
I have with that, Doc, is
and
the fact
hold on,
that
and just
Whitaker
to add, wait, okay, let me just interject one point.
Pernell Whitaker
has turned Zab Judah to fight like Pernell Whitaker. That's the problem that I have with that. When he won that title from this African the other day, you could turn off the sound and see Pernell Whitaker and Zab Judah.
But what's wrong with that? He won the fight.
Let me finish.
He won the fight.
And fighting like Pernell Whitaker, Purnell, Zab Judah was losing until he knocked the guy out.
Ooh, okay, you didn't tell me that. You didn't tell me that.
Well, if you let me finish, I'm telling you, he was losing until he knocked the guy out. I don't like this idea of a fighter teaching a fighter to fight his style, and that's what he's doing. That, to me, could be the downfall of Zab Judah.
Well, you know, you've added another big fact. Okay, we got that one. C-Wings, you like Zab. Let's move on. We've got David Hay, Klusko. Ladies first, Lady A, talk to me.
I like Hay.
Why?
I like David Hay.
Why?
I mean, you guys may not agree with me, but I like David Hay for that fight.
I think Klitschko's going to punish him, Lady A. I think Klitschko really does. For one of the few times I think Klitschko's actually motivated, he has this guy by 3 inches and a ton of reach. He really doesn't like him. He really doesn't like him. I'm not just talking about hype. He doesn't like Hay. He thinks he talks too much.
Yeah, but you know what? That's the reason why I like him, too. Because I think that he has what it takes. Because I don't think Klitschko has seen a fighter like this before.
Absolutely.
And when you look at the intangibles, I think that David Hay could pull it off.
Well, he's giving up a lot of height and reach.
No, you know what? I still think he hasn't seen a fight like this before.
I'm going to tell you what the great
Roberto Duran said. Duran said, everybody I ever fought had to reach over me. You know what I mean?
Yep,
because you come to the plate with a bat don't mean you're going to hit the ball.
Are you comparing David Hay to Roberto Duran?
I'm just using a comment.
Yeah, I know. Well, that works for Roberto Duran, not David Hay.
You know, right. I'm talking about, I mean, everybody that comes to the plate with a bat can't hit.
Yeah.
You know, so everybody has to reach. Don't take advantage of it.
But
okay.
But you say he has the height and reach.
Huh?
You say he has the height and reach. But you look at the Mike Tyson, Mitch Blood Green.
Yeah.
He had such a reach over Mike Tyson, but he still got in there.
He never knocked him out. Hold it. Not only that, C-Wings, Tony Tucker had to reach over Mike. Trevor Burbick had to reach over Mike. Everybody that fought
Like I said before I started my statement, you guys may not agree with me, but I believe David Hay has those intangibles and may even throw him off his fight game of what he's used to doing.
I think the biggest thing that Hay has is that Hay has the confidence and feels it.
I see the same confidence in Hay that I saw in Tarver when he stepped in the ring and Roy Jones.
Klitschko's are not that good.
Right. And they're not that of. They're not technical fighters.
No.
They're more
and
like,
they
to me,
European
in my opinion,
style.
They're more
See,
like brawlers.
They have that European style of fighting. That's
folks,
you know.
We're getting away from the reality here, and it's this.
What's the reality?
In the corner of Klitschko is none other than the guru of teachers, Emmanuel Stewart.
Emmanuel Stewart
has taken these go-nowhere fighters and turned them into
Dusty still has to show up in the ring. Manny can't fight for him, and Manny was in the corner of both Citron and our middleweight champion who got knocked out by Kelly Pavlik. So, you know, Manny's
listen
there.
To what I'm trying to
listen,
make
Dusty,
but,
in the end,
but, yeah,
in the end, Klitschko has to fight the fight.
Can't fight for him.
No. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. These guys are trained by Emmanuel Stewart that he's doing the same thing with Miguel Cotto to fight tall. Never bend down. Sit behind that jab because you are the taller fighter.
And does
this
they take full advantage of everything?
What's the matter with David Hay? How tall they fight? They're falling.
They tall. They fight tall.
They got to fight tall. They're tall guys.
Now.
They got to fight tall.
But Dusty. But it still comes down to the actual fighter and the skill that they possess.
You can have the best training in the world.
But that is the only problem that David Hay is going to encounter. If he can get over the fighting tall mentality and of the Klitschko's, and I believe
they
got to
come down to fight Hay.
He's only
going
by their name.
Dusty, once you get the guy on the inside, it's over. Once he gets inside, it's over.
When the shorter guys get close to the Klitschko's, what happens? They grab them like octopuses. They don't let go. They don't body punch. They don't. All they do is stand at a distance, fighting tall, using the jab.
That's all they do. That's all they do.
And
not only that.
That's what measures the victory. And
not only that, but hey, the thing about why he's going to beat Hay, I think, panel, I think he's going to beat him because I don't think Hay's going to do anything that he hasn't seen before.
Exactly.
You know, he has
exactly.
a decent punch here, but I don't think he's going to do anything that Klitschko hasn't seen.
No, these guys fight tall, and they're not going to bend. They're going to stand there and stick that jab in the face.
Sure
stick
is.
That jab there,
throw
stick
the right hand over the top,
and
we
throw right
to
hand,
keep them on it.
Throw right hand, and slap you with a hook, and throw right hand. They're not going to mix. They're not going to mix like before. Before Emmanuel Stewart, or during the beginnings of Emmanuel Stewart, you saw the Klitschko's get beaten, battered, and knocked down all over the place. Brewster did it. Why? Because they got inside. These guys, the Klitschko's are not going to let anybody get inside of them. They're
okay, Bob, that's enough. Time's up, minutes up. Next fight. I mean, you know, by the time Dutcher gets through, it has his thing dissected. We'll be in round 17. You know, he does the same thing with the roaches. I like the brown roach over the black roach because he can get inside a lot better. Plus, Ray doesn't bother him. You know, but Black Flag will knock him out. Dutcher sits here. He bitches about the pay-per-view fight, but he said, you know what? I got to watch it because I got to tell Doc on Sunday. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
Dusty, we're going to start this one with you.
Okay,
your pick, Vicious, Victor Ortiz, and Floyd. Pretty Boy Mayweather Jr.
Yeah, okay. I gave you, when we talked the other day, how I felt about it.
No, tell the world now.
Yeah, okay. I felt that out of Paul Spadafora or Victor Ortiz, Paul Mayweather picked the man that's going to give him
hold on,
a pay-per-view.
Dusty, hold on, Dusty. Panel, it is sure good kicking it with the crew again. Tell the truth, don't this feel good? We're
yeah,
feeling
it feels
again,
good.
Baby.
It feels
good.
You shut up and let me talk, man.
Oh, you know what? You know what?
No,
okay,
no, go ahead.
Okay, that's one demerit.
No, okay, all right.
Go ahead, Dusty.
It's a good matchup. No, it's
and next time
say it
in Spanish so the Latin crowd know what you're saying, too.
Right. Como estaba diciendo? It's a good matchup because Vicious Ortiz had said, now I'm in the limelight. I beat a good guy, and I want to be in the same inner circles, and he said this, with the Floyd Mayweathers and the Pacquiao's and all of those guys. I think I deserve that spot. So
who's
going to
win
the
fight, Dusty? Who's going to win the
now,
fight?
Now,
I believe
crazy as a fox, Mayweather made a mistake. Okay, Mayweather made a mistake because he feels that he can use Ortiz as a training ground.
So who are you picking? You're picking Ortiz.
I got Ortiz because of the fact that I think Mayweather is taking him lightly.
Jump at him, Lady A. Jump at him. Tell him how Mayweather's going to win. Tell him, Lady A. Tell him.
It's going to be crazy. This guy, he's going to hit him so many times with combinations. It's going to be out of.
Absolutely.
Listen. Do you know what Mayweather's most dominating thing is?
Tell him, Eddie.
Combination.
Listen, his shoulder parring and his defense.
There's absolutely
no way Victor Ortiz is going to even land anything remotely close to beating him.
Well, I disagree.
I'm
knew you were
going to
disagree.
Now, unequivocally, without equivocation.
Go ahead, Mr.
I'll be surprised if it makes it past the eighth round.
I'm an American girl like talk this. I'm not an American to show like this. Could a young Latin goddess speak like this?
Eight rounds, buddy. No more than eight rounds.
I have to agree with Lady
C-Wings.
A. He's going
to
be.
Come on, C-Wings. The number eight, baby.
I have to totally agree with Lady A. He's going to be outboxed. You know, Mayweather just has the talents and the combination
and
the power.
What else, C. Wings? What else does Mayweather have that Ortiz doesn't have? Heart!
And Ortiz will be repeating that no mas. He's going to say no mas, I guarantee you. If he gets the chance to talk after Mayweather knocks his teeth out.
You know what?
I mean, his combinations are ridiculous.
You know,
this guy is not going to be able to match that.
Here's another thing, too. First of all, historically, and Andrew's on his book, Durant never said no mas. But here's historically. Would Mayweather pick somebody he couldn't beat? I mean, would Mayweather pick somebody he couldn't beat with Pacquiao in the wings? I mean, forget everything else.
Is he going to pick somebody he can't beat with Pacquiao in the
wing? Let me say this, Doc. I agree with Dusty in this sense, okay?
You've been going, I'm watching you with this cool move with Dusty. What you do, you wait until three other people talk, and then you're doing this, Dusty. You did this great thing about the Father's Day move, and now you're sitting there with a knife in your hand. Go ahead, Rooney.
Doc, let me make this point, if I may, okay?
Please, Lady A and C and...
All of you, I disagree with Dusty. I do think that Mayweather is going to win, okay?
But I agree with Dusty on that.
I think you guys are way overrating this kid. I'm going to say it again. Tremendous defensive fighter, boring as hell on offense, and this kid is far from unbeatable. I'm going to say it again. Far from unbeatable.
You know what? You've never liked Mayweather, Rooney, and what I like about you... What I like about you is that you are consistent with it, but I think for the next 2 weeks, we're not going to need you on the panel.
He's one of the great defensive fighters of our time.
Listen, Rooney, I'm going to tell you something. Mayweather is an outstanding fighter.
Let me tell you something.
Mayweather and Pacquiao... Both are not great. There is not a great fighter in the game today. Not Pacquiao, not Mayweather, not Hopkins. There's not a great fighter.
I don't know, Doc. I think you might have to start to put Hopkins in the category.
Here's a great fight. What great middleweight champion could Bernard Hopkins beat? Okay, does he beat Ray Robinson? No. Does he beat Marcel Zidane? No. Does he beat Jake LaMotta? No. Does he beat Emil Griffith? No. Does he beat...
He may beat Hagler. He may beat... I'm not sure. But he goes a distance with these guys.
No, you're right. Hagler may be a pretty good fight, but does he beat Tommy Hearns? They take Tommy Hearns to jail for murder. For murder. Tommy's last time you killed this kid. He goes... Ray Robinson, he don't beat Ray. He don't beat Emil Griffith. He don't beat Durant. Yeah, you know who would beat Bernard Hopkins to death?
Iran Barkley would have beat Bernard Hopkins. I don't know, Doc. He might have been too slick for Iran. I don't know about that.
Listen, you forget this holding. You know, when Bernard fights a guy that fights, he holds. When he fights these other chumps, he does it. Iran Barkley would have beat Bernard Hopkins to death. Hopkins.
But you know, just getting back to what we were talking about defense, Doc. Like, I got to tell you, man. Listen, the guy is just amazing when it comes to defense. That, you know, fighting Mayweather. When you sit there and you watch how this guy shoulder parries, I've seen him shoulder parry. And Dusty, you boxed before.
Yeah.
I mean,
Dusty, don't be so quiet on this thing. When I'm telling Rooney these things, don't be so deaf and quiet. I need some backup here, baby.
Listen, Dusty, he has mastered the art of the shoulder parry and the parry. I said I agree with you that
Barkley will destroy Bernard Hopkins. Well, I'm saying to you that the most defensive, the most prolific counterpuncher with speed and can take a punch in the world is none other than Money Mayweather. And
does he compare somewhat to Benitez?
Technically,
yeah.
It might be, but the difference is that Benitez did not have that punch.
Defensively, he's nowhere near the offensive fighter that Benitez was.
But defensively, I tell you, the guy's mastered that. He's mastered
it. Right. In his era night right now, he's the greatest defensive player. I mean, not
well, you know what? Freddie Roach told me that the guy is a great counterpuncher.
Right.
Freddie acknowledged that. He's a great fighter. Stop holding, gang. Stop telling Sports Up with the Blake Radio, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports Up Show. We're back. Doc is back from Brazil. The gang is here. It's a happy Father's Day special. Next week we got some special people that are going to join the show. Harvey Farmer, legendary sports writer. We've got another good 5 minutes of sports
but
in depth.
But you got to understand the fact that Mayweather...
But what we're going to do, of course, we're going to give you a good half hour of sports in depth with the lights on and the mic still on because the gang is chopping at the bit. So we'll keep going. But keep rapping. Let me get these other names for you.
It's here. Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Souls and Sports Network Show. The crew is here. The big conversation is the defense of Mayweather. But, okay, we got Mayweather. Pacquiao's fighting in November. The question is, now, who's Paul Williams coming back against?
A guy named his father. I don't know who he is. I got to look him up. His father, is it?
Okay.
Middleweight.
Okay. Here's a question. If for some reason Pacquiao and Mayweather can't get together, would one of them, you think, fight Paul Williams, and which one do you think would do?
No
way.
Go ahead, Rooney. Who's that, Rooney?
Absolutely not.
Go ahead, Rooney.
No.
Talk to me.
First of all, he's too tall, too big. And number two, Doc, contrary to what a lot of other folks believe, I think Paul's going to come back bigger and better. I think he's going to be the champion again.
Oh, my God.
I really do, Lady A. He's going to come back more vicious. He's not going to, like Dusty was talking about, fighting tall. He's got that now. He knows not to stick his chin out like that and fight like he's about 5'2". He's going to fight tall. He's going to be strong. And he's going to be vicious.
We hope that with Martinez... disaster, so to speak, he learned. And we hope that he learned for the Martinez disaster, because he was trapped, sucked into it. His trainers did not prepare him and let him get sucked into fighting low, bending down. And there was a simultaneous punch. He was getting ready to throw his left hand as Martinez threw his. And that's how the connection.
And he was very low.
I'm going to tell you guys something.
Very low.
Yeah.
All habits die hard, and I don't think that he's come this far and he's been boxing like that. It's like trying to start all over again. I don't think
you're right, Lady A. But it's something about getting knocked out that can change a guy's feelings.
You could change your feelings, but changing your skill is not that easy, sweetie. And I'm gonna tell you right now,
I don't think you'll be so quick to go from 6'2" to about 5'6". And stick his chin out like that. I think he will proceed with caution, but he will be. Don't forget, this guy still throws punches and bunches, and he can still punch.
And the fact of the matter is that
but a lot of his punches are not strong punches, and he pity pats a lot.
Yeah, he pity pats a lot just for speed. But what I'm more concerned of than anything else, whether he fights tall or short, is his mind wondering whether he could take a punch.
Hold on, gang, real quickly.
What
we're going to do, Doc Stanley Sports up on the Blake, we're at Rainbow Show, 10 Sports in the show. We're going to, when we close this segment, we're going to keep Sports in Depth with the mic on, lights off, because, gang, I don't want you to go any place. We're going to have next week, we're looking to have the renowned Dartmouth, Harvey Farmer, and his Remembering Fenway Park. Harvey Farmer's Fenway first captivates the reader with its visual beauty. They are all there, some in black and white. Ted the Thumper, the Matchlessly Ass, Miss Mysterio Manny, even the Babe, and the people, yes, the people from all corners of New England at these images. Mr. Farmer's technique of prose, and you have one memorial book. He's done a lot of appearances up in the Boston area, June 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th. Harvey has been writing for over 30-something years. He did an incredible book about the Yankee Stadium. And also at the Leroy Neiman Affair the other day, I ran into John D. Hertz, and he's a photographer. He's going to join us next week. He gave me one of his books. We want to again salute Leroy Neiman up at last week. The Leroy Neiman Art Center, 2785 Frederick Douglass Boulevard, and he had an exhibition there. And we want to thank Marlene A. Martin, director, and we want to take this time to have our closing prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this coming together of family and friends. Thank you for another Father's Day. Thank you for blessing us and providing us with little things which are large and take for granted. Let your will be first and foremost, and more importantly, your will, your way in all our lives. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Show, Sports and Depth of the show. Once again, birthday greetings to Nayada, to Uncle Robert, Chastity, to Chase, my sister, Leroy Neiman, my man David Herscher, Bobby Goodman, Mayor Dinkins. And we're about ready to close out. We're going to close out this segment, and we'll stay on game because it's going to be Sports Net with the lights off, but the mic's still on. Larry Hardesty, would you please, my brother?
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
And with that, Larry will bring us back as we continue the half-hour segment. Sports in Depth, mic on, lights off. Mr. Control Man, Big C, let Larry do this one more time.
Control panel's having some technical issues.
Well, no problem. We'll keep it going. And when you get Larry, let
there
us know.
Go.
He can break in. No time. Okay, well, it was boxing has still been the forte
yeah.
here as we continue to talk about a lot of fights. The Mayweather. We just the big thing was Paul Williams. Here he is. Here's Larry. Mr. Hardesty, please.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Larry was winded from the closing.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Larry, you know, yeah. Larry, greatest acumen sportscast in the history of... In fact, well, we're going to say happy anniversary. Larry, in May 14th, celebrated his first year of his marriage to his lovely wife, Janelle. Okay, we'll open up with Luke Coltrane real quick, and then we'll get back to the panel. Dear Lord, thank you. As we move toward another week, dear Lord, we praise you. As all honor and praise is to you. We thank you for the little things that we so largely take for granted. Thank you for the large things that we, blessings, undeserved, unacknowledged, and definitely sometimes unaware. That's my panel. That's a friend. And again, Father's Day Part 2, all the dads in the world, those both male and female. But all honor to the only true dad, the greatest dad of all, you. In Jesus' name, the Lord. Amen. It's continuing to talk about boxing, and anytime you get Lady A and the crew here, hey, here's a good fight. Here's a good fight. Let's do it. I had a fight card. I remember a man from round one had a fight card. Lady A. Lady A?
Yes.
Okay. He had a fight card. Okay. His fight card, he had, the main event was Mike Tyson and Joe Frazier. Who's your pick in that one?
Ooh. I like Joe Frazier.
Okay. The semi-main event was, check this out, Rocky Marciano and George Foreman.
Foreman.
Okay.
Foreman.
Then his next fight was, everybody remember because you want the same thing. His next fight was Sugar Ray Robinson against Sugar Ray Leonard.
Robinson.
And then he had Julio Cesar Chavez against Arturo Gatti.
Chavez.
And then he had Jermaine Taylor. Here's a good one. Jermaine Taylor against Tito Trinidad.
Trinidad.
Dusty, your turn.
Well, Mike Tyson against who you say?
Joe Frazier.
Joe Frazier, hands down, Frazier. As tough as
Foreman,
Mike was, hands down would be Joe Frazier.
Foreman,
animal,
okay, Foreman and Marciano.
Foreman and Marciano, remembering how Joe Wall got beat the crap out of Marciano, I would go with Foreman.
Tito Trinidad and Jermaine Taylor.
Jermaine Taylor, because if they were the same weight, I would give it to Jermaine Taylor, because Jermaine Taylor was bigger and stronger than the Tito Trinidad.
Julio Cesar Chavez. Julio Cesar Chavez against Arturo Gatti.
Oh, the hands down will be Chavez. Gatti,
you know,
can
Dusty,
put
you know,
that
Dusty,
thing into the body.
Who would have thought, as we said, that Arturo Gatti would be the late Arturo Gatti?
Yeah, I know.
That's hard even now to digest. But and then in the circumstances that this man passed away,
yeah,
it's still
yeah.
a mystery now.
Yeah,
whether he was killed or
yeah,
suicide.
Well, actually, C Wings and I were talking to Zito
Chuck Zito at when we went up for I think last week and a week before.
Right.
And he said they're going to reopen the case. So
wow.
Yeah, he said they're going to end up reopening the case.
But you know
so.
What?
That you should mention that, Doc, was a month or so before his passing, he was in New York, I think, to do some press for one of his final fights in Jersey. And as Lady A said, not only did I talk to Gotti and I was reminiscing about one of his greatest fights in the Garden with Wilson Rodriguez.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's right.
Yeah.
I also interviewed Zito at the time.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, you know, it's an amazing thing, and that's all well and good. But the bottom line, he's not going to be not going to bring him back. Ray Robinson against Ray Leonard, Dusty.
Oh. That's like a father beating a little boy. Ray Robinson over the Sugar Ray Leonard anytime.
You know what?
One round.
Bill Gallo had did a cartoon some years ago about the fight, and he said, you know, and they're getting instructions in the middle of the ring, and as they walk away, Ray Robinson taps Ray Leonard on the left eye. Said, is that the bad eye?
Oh, another thing we forgot to talk about, it just came, and I apologize for not bringing it at the beginning of the panel. We lost another great fighter, Genaro Hernandez, Chicanito Hernandez.
Yes, he did.
Who was a super lightweight champ.
Yeah,
and ironically,
yeah, yeah.
After defending his title five or six times, he lost to none other.
Golden Boy.
No, to Floyd Mayweather. That was the title.
Oh,
he
really?
Lost to Floyd
Mayweather.
And then we knocked Floyd Mayweather, but you got to give him his props. You know, he paid for all of Chicanito Hernandez's funeral.
Really?
All
expenses. Yeah. Yes, he did. He went out there.
No, that's good info by you, Dusty, because none of the panel, I don't think, really knew that.
Yeah,
none of the newspapers. Where'd you read that, LD Audio?
No. No. In all my website contacts, Dan Raphael and all them guys I picked up, he paid for all of the funerals expenses.
Dan Raphael had it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But Chicanito Hernandez have been, I mean, you know, we have to be careful of ourselves and our health. The crazy unnamed cancers that are coming out of nowhere in this society, and he had some inoperable cancer through his nervous system and to his blood. And they did everything that they could to save him. And then he went home, was called hospice, and he died at home. And that was the first guy that Mayweather won the title from, and he paid for all of his expenses. He, you know, like I said, all fighters when they retire, either they're millionaires or they wind up, you know, in bad financial conditions. He was holding on. He was an announcer on Spanish TV on boxing. He was on Channel 47, Telemundo, and all that. But he was just making enough money. But when he passed away in the medical expenses, some guy paid for his medical expenses. I think it was the Golden Boy promotions, and Floyd Mayweather paid for his funeral expenses. And here was a shout out to Genaro Hernandez. But then you got to give Floyd his props too.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know, those are the kind of things that Floyd does that you never hear about. And
a lot
of those guys,
he,
you know, Vander Holyfield was the kind of guy that went to the hospital and stuff. And a lot of great athletes do that, man. And you got to, you know, take your hat off to him and salute him. Okay, we're going to go Rooney. We're doing that same card as you. Your man Mike Tyson against Smoking Joe Frazier. Who you picking?
Well, you know, I got to tell it like it is, and it's funny because, like I said, I'm kind of a personal friend of Mike's. But the truth be told, I got to go with Joe quickly because, you know, man, after I saw the Rose, was it the Thriller Manila with Muhammad and those 14 absolutely brutal, unconscious rounds. I got to say, I don't think Mike would be able to take that kind of beating, man, over 12, 13, 14
rounds.
Ray
Robinson against Ray
Leonard. I'm going to go with Dusty and say Joe, because Joe's will was just...
Okay, well, Ray Robinson and Ray Leonard.
Oh, well, everybody knows that. I got to go with the original Ray over that. Don't get me wrong, though. I really think I want to say this off the bat. Ray Robinson, everybody knows, is, you know, maybe the greatest fighter of all time. But let's make no mistake,
against,
Ray Leonard was brilliant.
Brilliant. Julio Chavez against Arturo Gotti.
I would take Chavez only because Gotti used to take ungodly amounts of punishment, man.
Yeah.
I just don't see him taking that kind of just terrible beating that he probably would have had to go going toe-to-toe with a young, fresh Chavez.
Trinidad.
And by the way, Doc, just in closing with that, I wouldn't have said against Chavez against Gotti. I'd have put Chavez against a personal friend named Juan Laporte, who actually beat him up at the Garden and should have got the Duke.
Well, you know,
handed him his first loss.
I remember that fight. I came to that fight about the fifth round. Tremendous fight. Chavez was an up-and-coming star, not the name that he was going to become. And I remember going to see Juan in the dressing room, and they came from Chavez's dressing room, and the fighters there. They asked Chavez, you know, the fight was a close fight, you know, what about had they given the fight to Laporte? I'll never forget what he said. And I said, you know, this guy right there fell in love with the guy with a great fighter. He said, I wouldn't have argued.
And that's exactly the quote in the newspaper the next day, Doc, after you had got that live.
Yeah,
he said, if they had given Laporte the decision, I wouldn't have argued. And he couldn't have. Because I had Laporte, they wouldn't have fight to begin with.
Exactly.
You know, personal feelings aside, I had won, and even though, you know, I actually obviously been kind of a friend, I wanted him to win that. But no, Doc, I thought he won that fight going away at the Garden. You know, Ron saved some of his best, you know, rumbles for the Garden. You know, he loved fighting in that place.
At the Garden, he beat the guy Miranda. It became the first ever Puerto. In fact, I have a pair of his boxing shoes in my Sporting Hall of Fame. Became the first ever Puerto Rican to win the featherweight championship of the world. You know,
and it's funny you should mention that, Doc, because I was at that fight against Mario Miranda when he won the title.
That's right.
And by the way, the reason that I remember it so well is he's a featherweight Miranda. They listed him at like 6'2".
Yeah. I remember him. He was a tall, thin guy.
Yeah.
In fact, I called one today. C-Wings, we've got the card for you, Ray Robinson against Ray Leonard.
Wait, hold up. You didn't ask Coco who he liked, Trinidad or that bum Jermaine Taylor.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, you know, you're right about that. Good job, Mike. Lady, you know what?
She can be a record.
Well, come on. Give it to me.
All right, you said that was Jermaine Taylor and Trinidad. Oh, man. Hey, lady, I'm not copping now, but I got Pick'em on that. I got it as Pick'em.
Really?
Wow.
I like Trinidad in that fight. Ray Robinson against Ray Leonard. Yeah, I mean, hey, you know, he ain't no thing but a chicken wing on that.
And by the way, Doc, wasn't Jermaine Taylor part of the Kronk team?
Emmanuel Stewart. Yeah.
Well, he was Manny Stewart's guy. He wasn't one of the original Kronk guys. But yeah, the knock on Jermaine Taylor was that he was fighting off talent, didn't have any really sincere desire to fight in the sense of he just saw it as a sport. Never gave anything extra. You know, if he if he trained from 9 to 3, he trained from 9 to 3 and not from 8 to 3 or not from 9 to 4. You know what I mean?
Call him 9 to 5.
Right. If he did 5 rounds, he did 5 rounds. He didn't do 6. I remember the public fight sitting there with Scoop, Mr. Biofiles, and one of the guys that worked in the corner of the great Lennox Lewis, and he was saying that Emmanuel had told Jermaine, when you fight Pavlik, don't go straight back, just go in circles. And he was doing that. He was going in circles, and then he stopped. And
he
started
stopped.
Going straight back, and next thing you know, bam, you was at the fight, Dusty. Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah.
Bam. We was on our way to the bus terminal.
Right,
so on our way to the bus terminal, knocked him out.
That was the beginning of the end for him.
Yeah.
Right, and in fact, Emmanuel Stewart told us, remember, Doc, he says, to get him to become more interested in watching films, because he didn't want to watch films, I had to take him away to a training camp. He had to take him away because he always liked to fight in his home ground, the barber shop, the local bodega, and all the pals, and by 3 o'clock he finished. So he took him to a training camp and then buried him in the Kronk gym where he got battered, and he felt that maybe he had turned him around. But then you saw, the 7th or the 8th round where he went back to his old nonsense. It didn't
Let me tell you something. When he fought in the Super 6, that right there was an embarrassment. He shouldn't have even been there.
Oof. Abraham hit him. Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. Well, what? Did he even show up that day?
He left him for dead. He hit him with that right hand between his arms and left him for dead. But, you know, remember, Carl Frosch had knocked him out before.
Yes.
But in both fights, I think a combined 20 seconds, if he could have held on in both fights, he'd have won them.
Absolute. No.
A combined 20 seconds.
But, Doc, that's where you've learned that when you got people, when they hit the end, that's when you got to turn it on. You don't sit back. You know, I mean, that's when you got to – that's why training is important to go past the hour sometimes. Because, you know, when you're pushed past that point, that's when you got to step up your game.
Yeah,
you know, and that's not what he did. I mean, in many of these fights, he needed to exert himself and push himself more at the end of these fights to win the close decisions. And he didn't win those close decisions because of that.
Let me say this right quick. He was beating Carl Frosch. He was beating Abraham. That's the point. And
Dusty, let me say this.
You
were a former championship fighter. Let me say this. As someone who did some amateur boxing and obviously some professional wrestling, let me say this, and I'm not saying what I heard. I ain't saying what I know. There are times when you're in, like, a really, really tough, brutal fight, there are times, man, when you say, damn, I'm so glad I did that extra damn mile, man.
Exactly.
I'm so glad I did that extra mile.
Exactly.
You know, otherwise, this guy, you know, if I didn't do it, man, I sure wouldn't want to be running out of gas right about now.
You see, because you got to understand the philosophy of this thing here. Let's go back, way back. Richard Steele, Meldrick Taylor, and Julio Cesar Chavez. 8-10 seconds left. The Duvas tell Meldrick Taylor, go knock him out. But he's already battered. And all he had to do was coast and dance and do a little waltz until that bell rang, and he would have won that title. And this is exactly the comparison that I'm making with Jermaine Taylor and Carl Frosch and Abraham. He was beating the crap out of Carl Frosch. And he turns around, he's a little tired, or he this, that, and the other. You have to say to yourself, hey, I got this guy beat, let me coast. Let me eat those last 20 seconds. No, he goes out there and he wants to trade punches with the freaking guy. No, man, you got to use your noodles. The same
thing
with Abraham.
That happened to like twice, Dusty. And you remember this guy's name when I say it? This guy, I saw this guy. He was beating a guy named Mike Weaver for like 14. He literally won 14 and a half rounds.
John Tate.
John Tate.
John Tate blew not only a huge payday for himself, but had Tate won, Ali was going to fight him for the title, which meant that Ali would have beat him, no doubt about it, but they both would have made some big money.
He won 14 and a half rounds, Doc.
I know.
14 and a half.
Big John Tate, I see he felt like a tree being cut. Bam.
This is where you got to use your smarts. It's not the fact that
it's hard to use smarts that you don't have.
I literally had it as a shutout, Dusty, for 41 every round for 14 and a half rounds, Dusty.
But you don't have to be a rocket scientist to say to yourself, man, I'm tired. I got this guy beat for 14 rounds. I'm not going to mix with him. I'm going to dance and chuck and jive.
But you guys could say the same thing for Diego Corrales-Jose Luis Castillo fight.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the greatest fight I have seen in a long time.
Good job, Lady A. That's true. That was tremendous.
And Israel Vasquez-Marquez fight is another one. Well, they fought three times, but, I mean, those fights are classic fights.
Exactly. But there are times that you got to say, hey, let me coast. I got 5 seconds left or 10 seconds left. I got the fight in the bag. Man, I'm not going to trade punches with this animal. And Jermaine traded punches with two animals, Frosch and Abrahams. And
let me ask you, you've been a big-time fighter, Dusty. Is that just stupidity or is it ego, Dust? Which one is it?
It's ego. Ego. To make a big splash. Oh, a Saturday night. Canelo Alvarez is killing this guy Rose. He's killing him. But he wanted to make a statement.
His head was bouncing around like a rag doll at the end.
Hold on, Dusty, let's make it big clear. You still there?
He goes out there
Okay, Dusty, hold on. Let's do a commercial break. Let's make a statement right here. Doc Sandy Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Souls and Sports Endeavor Show. It's a post-Father's Day show. We're saying fathers, all the fathers across the world. Sports Endeavor is back. Doc back from Brazil. The crew is here. We're going to do a little commercial.